Listen, I've never kissed a man.
If Kissing Men is gay, then how am I supposed to say goodnight to the homies?
If Kissing Men is gay, how am I supposed to kiss guys while being straight?
Wait, hold up. You're telling me these boys can't be kissed without the gay. I'm confused.
I like that you're turning into Trump for some reason.
This has been the worst business deal of all. I say I give you kisses. They now say you're gay.
I go around. I kiss boys. Bing bong. They're gay. I take out my magic wand. I say bing bong. And now you're gay.
No one's ever done it better than me. I'm the best gay. I was there. Stonewall 73. That was me.
Like the idea of you being like, all right, I'm going to clap. And then a noise that like isn't a clap happens.
Fucking Taco Bell dong. Yeah. All right.
All right, I'm going to clap.
My leg. All right.
Only one out.
Frog juice. All right. You take the frogs, right? You make them gay. Then you put them in a bottle. Alex Jones approved.
Gets you horsed. Gets you straight horsed.
Get your tactical baths.
Just saying.
Now you're bulletproof.
Shit.
Fuck. All right.
Stop.
So, Danny.
These two things now, right?
No.
This one. What? That one bleep swears.
Oh, nice.
Fuck you.
Saw how much brain power that took.
That took a lot. All right. It's a great bit. It's a bit that never gets old. All right. So, Danny.
What? Don't yell at me.
Today was a hectic day for the both of us.
Yeah.
Danny and me filmed our first ever anime IRL video today, which is a new project that we are co-creating with the help of the likes of Steven, he and Ian Boggs. And we had our first ever video today, which was an anime version of What's in the Box, which is going to be out in like 4 to 5-ish weeks. We're trying to bankroll like 5 videos before we put anything out. It's going to be massive. Danny, on the other hand, to give you guys a little look behind the curtain of what this video is going to look like, it's kind of, let's say hypothetically, you're holding this eye mask and it's in a box and you have to feel this eye mask and be like, oh, that's an eye mask. And then you're like, oh, what anime has an eye mask? Or what anime has eyeballs or something? And you could be like, oh, it's got eyeballs, eye mask, Naruto or something, because you're always losing your eyes. Danny was trying to get abstract with it. And because of this, a lot of the items that Danny decided to bring in were just goop, just goopy food. And Danny was like, oh, I don't want it to be too easy. I don't want people feeling like Dragon Balls and be like, oh, it's a Dragon Ball. Oh, a Pokeball. Danny was like, no, I want ramen.
Yeah.
To symbolize Naruto. So you have to stick your hand in a lukewarm bowl of noodles, and then you can be like, oh, it's ramen. It's Naruto. Good thing I only had to touch it a little bit. And then Danny's like, hey, you want an extra point? Because if you grope the noodles, if you really get to the bottom of it and start noodling like you're looking for catfish, there's a hint in there. Yeah. So me and 3 people who are now filming the first video on a channel that doesn't exist are wrist deep in lukewarm
in my
ramen.
Goop. In goops of my choosing.
And goops of his choosing. And the last item is a hot dog. With a vegan hot dog with a nail, a fake nail glued onto it. So we're just groping a wiener. And for some reason, at the tip of it is hard.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. So Anime IRL is not going to get off the ground. That's just the final prognosis.
Listen, here's the dilemma I ran into, right? And obviously this will all make more sense when the video is out. Yes. People will have context for it. But I knew when you told me, come up with 5 objects for us to grope blindly. Mm-hmm. I was like, gotta be goopy. Gotta be goopy. And I had these goop. I had these goopy objects, the ramen, for example. We won't spoil the other objects, except I guess the hot dog. But I had the ramen and I was like, all right, this is gonna be great. This is so goopy. It's so wet. They're gonna hate it. And then I was like, but wait, I could just like gingerly feel the top of the ramen.
Oh, yeah.
Hardly get my hands wet and understand that it's ramen, then my brain would go to Naruto. And I'm like, I gotta make sure they get in the goop. Mm. And so I was thinking about it, and I'm like, man, how do I encourage goopiness. And then I was walking to my car on my way to your place, and I saw we have a bunch of rocks in the yard.
Nice.
And I was like, I got it. And I picked up a rock, and then before every person felt in the box, I put a rock at the bottom of the ramen, so they'd feel the top of the ramen. They'd be like, oh, Naruto. And they'd like wipe off their hands all gingerly.
Good job, me. Good job.
Yeah. And then I'd be like, you want a bonus point?
You're going to get your fingies in there.
I was like, it's not over yet. For a bonus point, there's a hidden thing hidden inside the ramen.
Truly, at times, it felt like saw traps. Like, it was like, yeah. He was like, no. There's a razor blade in the dragon fruit. You have to find it.
Yeah.
That would have been fantastic. You could have been like, yeah.
It's just like, a blender with nothing in it.
Oh, God. Is this plugged in? What's going on? Yeah. It's been a hectic day for me and Daniel.
I can't believe what a difference the energy drink makes in you.
What do you mean?
You had such crazy psychopath energy.
I love a little energy.
When this episode releases, I'm going to send it to you and you're going to rewatch at the opening. Because you went on some tangent where you're like, you know, the eye mask, and maybe it's an anime with eyes, and you think it's Naruto because you're always creative, losing your
it's
eyes.
It's called descriptive storytelling,
it's
Daniel.
It's saying nonsense.
What do you mean?
And then you threw it.
I'm giving an example, Danny. It's got no mask. I can throw it. Listen, barely even made it to you.
Yeah. I'm going to do the whole podcast blind.
Fine. You don't need to see me. You don't need to know what's going on.
I don't. I really don't.
Anyway. We barely got you out of the couch.
Yeah.
So lots to talk about this week. Me and Danny I've obviously been keeping up with all things spring 2024. And so me and Danny actually just sat down together and watched the first two episodes of Go Go Loser Ranger.
We did.
Which you didn't know was on Hulu. And a lot of you probably don't know is on Hulu, because if it's not on Crunchyroll, a lot of you probably will never watch it. But yes, Go Go Loser Ranger is in Hulu exclusive, which is just an uphill battle to fight nowadays.
Yeah, I hate Hulu. I hate its user interface.
It's awful.
Yeah.
It's like in the only anime that's ever done the successful bid at being a Hulu exclusive. You got it? Yeah, there he goes. Yeah, you got it. Is he going to spill all of it? Where's my mouth? So the only anime that's ever done a good job of being a Hulu exclusive was Daimakyo Tengoku or Heavenly Delusion. And I am curious to see if Go Go Loser Ranger is killed by the fact that it's on Hulu. Do you want to talk about how you felt about this first episode? First two episodes, though.
Sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Give me I had already seen episode one.
Yeah.
I had preconceived notions going in.
Mm-hmm.
What's your unfiltered opinion? Because we barely talked about it.
This is the best spring anime.
Oh?
Without a doubt.
Oh?
100%. At least if we're just judging first two episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And Kaiju number 8, which we'll get into later, like, I Kaiju number 8 reminded me of Solo Leveling, where I'm like, episode 1's not enough. Like, this is not enough to grip people. This should have came out in a 2-episode premiere.
Yeah.
So Kaiju number 8, it's not fair to judge yet.
Because he literally just becomes Kaiju number 8.
Yeah, he like just becomes at the end of the episode.
Yeah.
But this, like, Go Go Loser Ranger, significantly better than Windbreaker.
You've seen episode 2 and you still feel that way.
I hate Windbreaker. Ugh. Windbreaker sucks.
I just feel like sometimes, and I don't.
Or should I say, it blows.
I just, and I fully mean to gaslight you here in the worst way possible. I feel like sometimes you find a take and then you're like, nothing is going to shift me from this take. And you just do it in this perpetual, this perpetual motion of aggravating me, because Windbreaker is so much goddamn fun.
Guess what?
What?
I have an equally insulting view of you.
Oh, yeah.
Where I think you just gobble up any bullshit that mainstream anime throws at you.
What do you mean?
And you just like anything regardless of quality.
Windbreaker, notoriously mainstream. Yeah. Go Go Loser Ranger, the 14th most popular anime this season, notoriously. Go Go Loser Ranger, the anime that I'm championing for, is literally made by a company called YoStar Pictures. You want to hear the litany of incredible projects that YoStar Pictures has worked on up until this point?
Hit me.
So YoStar Pictures has done a grand total of, let's see, Anime Planet, they did Go Go Loser Ranger, and then they did Arknights, Perish in Frost.
Oh, I know Arknights.
Do you actually?
It's a game.
Okay, yep.
It's a mobile game.
Yeah, they also did, so much Arknights. They did Azur Lane. Do you know Azur Lane?
I think that's also a mobile game.
It's also a mobile game.
Nice.
Yeah. So basically, all YoStar Pictures has ever done is Arknights and Azur Lane, the mobile games. But they've also, I think, like, they're mobile games that have episodes of anime built into them or something.
Uh-huh.
and then go Loser Ranger.
I think you just like whatever's put in front of you. You just like flashing colors. You just like movement.
That's not true. I dropped Metallic Rouge, did I not?
That's true.
I like Metallic Rouge. Just I was like, oh, you know, 3 episodes, kind of fun. Yeah. I dropped, what was the fucking bird mask one?
Shangri-La.
Yeah, I dropped Shangri-La Frontier. Yeah,
but at first you were like, this is better animated than Jujutsu Kaisen.
I like the art style of it to this day. I like colors.
You're I right. know, you that's know what I you said. You're that's right. what I accused you of.
I do like colors. Is that so bad, Daniel? Is it so bad to be like, all right, JJK is like all dark blue.
Listen, if Windbreaker gets even remotely interesting, I will admit it. But let's talk about Go-Go Loser Ranger. We'll get to Windbreaker when we get to it.
I'm gonna
good thing I have this eye mask, because that's when I'm going to take my nap.
Oh, yeah?
When we talk about Windbreaker.
I'll just do a 45-minute ramen pixel podcast. Cut it. Cut everything.
Cut it all.
New cold open.
Go-Go Loser Ranger. Pretty fun. Didn't like blow me away, but the premise is so fun.
Yeah.
There's a lot of intrigue. I think the next like 3 episodes are really gonna define it.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I kind of agree. I love the art style. The colors are vibrant. Yeah. And this is absolutely like, I'm starting to realize this about myself a little bit. I do like vibrantly colorful anime, but there's a certain point. And this is something we're going to talk about later with Kaiju number 8, where I like vibrantly colorful and highly detailed.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why it's like, okay, I can fully understand that JJK is gorgeous looking, because it is. Like, objectively, it's fantastic, and the animation and the Mahoraga extended fights are all really good. But, like, that's not a style of animation I traditionally like.
Yeah.
Like, actually, the biggest thing to get, like, the biggest hurdle I had to get over to enjoy Devilman Crybaby is how it fucking looks.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't like how Devilman Crybaby looks. Like, everyone's too long. You know,
people are real long.
Everyone's way too long, and then the colors are super muted, and I'm just like, it's like, even with Frieren, like Frieren is like a lot of like pastel-y colors, and it's like less vibrant. Like I'm like a brain-rotted 13-year-old child. Like I need like fucking flashy colors.
Right.
And this is super vibrantly like beautiful. There's big pop-out kanji anytime somebody's introduced. It reminds me a lot of Kill La Kill.
Right.
Like it's like very Kill La Kill coded, to the point where I thought it was made by Trigger, who made Kill La Kill, like originally. I was like, nope, made by Azur Lane people. I think the premise is fun. I think it's not like as, like, maybe it's because we're only 2 episodes in, but like the Dragon Keepers don't seem as the boys as the boys.
Yeah, I'm hoping they have a little like twinge of it. Like, I told you while we're watching, I really want them to be like psychopaths.
Yeah.
Which would be cool. And there's a bit of it. Like, they're definitely dicks.
Oh, yeah.
But I'd love if they're like, yeah, like, the most fun part about the boys is that they're all, like, unhinged and idiots and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it'd be cool. I'm trying to think of, like, an anime example that has, like Kakegurui, kind of. Like, I want that level of
just
unhinged.
Like, yeah, just, like, fucking perversion.
Yeah, like, I'd love, like, the Green Ranger. Like, we see him go home and just, like, blasts a line of coke. Yeah. And, like, yeah.
It's just like, it's like the Yellow Ranger's just there, like, loading one bullet into a gun. Just be like, if I don't get this calculation, I get to play.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be pretty great.
I like, don't know what the rating of this is yet, though. There hasn't been any blood.
Oh, gotcha.
And, like, so I don't know.
I don't think there will be.
Yeah, I don't know if we should, like, expect too much intensity.
I don't know, because like it reads as though it would be like more Saiyan coded than Shonen coded, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like darker. It's about murdering 5 like good guys, right? So like at the end of the day, it has to be. But like it's not like he's like, oh shit, fuck ass. He's like, I'm cold. I'm a monster. Yeah. That kind of thing. Like, and he still like is drawn to look like a traditional MC. He doesn't look like old or anything. I'm curious. I don't think it's gonna be like crazy violent, because I don't think I've seen anybody bleed yet. But it's mostly because the monsters are specifically made to not, like, hurt anybody.
Right, yeah.
And so the biggest thing is, like, oh, the monsters keep losing. But, like, maybe once D starts winning, then we start seeing more violence.
I know. I wish my ideal first episode for this show would have been, like, exactly what happened, where, like, Fighter D, you know, he secedes from his, like, from the Dusters.
Yeah.
And then, like, the Red Ranger, like, kind of smokes his ass in front of everybody. I would have loved in the first episode for them to pull a similar thing to the boys, where you just see like it ends with the Red Ranger, like maybe like goes to the Duster's like base and just like grabs one of them by the hands and just like starts, breaks their hands.
Ripping arms off or something.
Just, like,
yeah.
I wanted one of them to just do something crazy.
I think that's kind of like, but he's supposed to be like the golden boy, right? So he's supposed to be the golden boy. So I think it's like, it's going to take a while to show like the cracks in his armor. Cause like the blue or the green one went up there with them and was just like smacking the head off these things. And here's my thing. They all have the ability to transform, right? And like they can transform into these giant tiger like truck things. And so it's like, why doesn't everybody just do that? Yeah. And then they all pull up simultaneously.
Well, it's weird, too, because I don't think the Rangers have powers. I think they just have those
divine artifacts.
Yeah. So it's strange. Like, the fighters seem stronger than the Rangers.
Yes.
Because they have powers.
Yeah. It's like you have the ability to transform into literal monsters, and, like, these guys just have, like, the dragon breath gun. I feel like it does a really good job of encapsulating all of the things of like all the things that one would appreciate about Power Rangers, like transformations, like the whole crew, the different personalities, like them having their own garrisons. And it's going to be like a systematic. What I appreciate about it is going to be more systematic than The Boys.
Yeah,
because The Boys is like a general political thriller and like occasionally a soup gets killed. Yeah. But is that Billy Butcher doing all the killing? Not really. Like Billy Butcher kills the invisible guy in like episode like two. And that's basically it for like a super, super long time.
Yeah.
This is going to be like, oh, he kills the Yellow Ranger and then he kills the Pink Ranger. Yeah. So it's going to be like, at least that's way it, like if anime and manga rules are going to be like stuck with here, it's going to be. He cuts down these dragon keepers until eventually he gets to the red one who he defeats.
Yeah, which is sick. I love a boss rush.
Love a boss rush. Absolutely. Yeah. It's the Sasuke retrieval arc, but on an entire anime basis.
It's like Demon Slayer, essentially.
It's a tried and true. It is the most tried and true format for anything ever. It's like, okay, here's the people you need. One Piece is technically a boss rush.
Yeah.
Like, they're like undeniably, and I've said this before and got in trouble for it. It's a boss rush.
One Piece is literally Super Mario World.
Where you just keep going through
He goes world from and, island to island. He beats the boss of the island. Then he goes on to the next one. Yeah.
It's the warlords. And then it's the Yonko. And now it's the elders.
That's all it is.
Yeah, that's literally. And then who knows what happens after the elders.
Yeah. I don't know. I love this premise. It's such an amazing premise. I really hope. My hopes for it is that it like gets dark with the Rangers. Like, I want the Rangers to be like a piece of shit.
I think it is going to get dark, but only because of that blonde girl, Suzuruki or something.
Mm.
Something about her character, how they're deciding to draw her, how she's being voice acted. I'm like, oh, this character is going to introduce the darkness.
Yeah.
Because she's like, oh, I'll teach you how to kill the dragon keepers.
Yeah. That'll be sick. And I'm so excited about like just to see them systematically take them down.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'll be super cool. They also introduced like a Hisoka looking character.
Wild.
Who's kind of like psychotic looking, which I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
He looks like
this is what I want.
Less than Hisoka. He looks like he belongs in Skate the Infinity.
You gotta at least watch an episode.
I know what the characters look like. That's
like, he looks like Hisoka.
I guess. Hisoka doesn't wear face makeup.
What are you talking about?
He wears...
He's got stickers.
You got stickers? That's it? Yeah. He doesn't have like a big old face.
He's got like purple skin, doesn't he?
Hisoka has... No. Just regular skin.
Yeah, and what color is regular skin to you, Nick?
Japanese. Oh, no, he is pale. You're right.
Mr. Hunter Hunter.
Yeah, but
just look at your arms.
Yeah, but that's not, I don't have him on my arms, but that's the pigment of his skin. Like, that doesn't wash off.
Gotcha.
You know, like, that's like, because, like, there's like a bath scene where he's in water and he doesn't have to, like, reapply his clown makeup.
Yeah, to his whole body.
God, fucking stumbled into a flesh colored Crayola mix up here.
Peach
and darker and also lighter, maybe. But yeah, no, I think it's really cool. I think the Dusters are the generals. That was something I said to you, and clearly you did not understand,
I don't understand it at all.
Yeah, it's the people the Harlem Globetrotters play every single week.
Okay.
They're called the generals, and they're like pretty good basketball players because they have to be able to hit shots and shit to like keep it entertaining. But like, you have to like, they literally, their entire job is to run around and be like, oh, I had never seen a man dribble like this before. Yeah. Then they get beat. it's incredible. So they are the generals, but really good. Like, I'm gonna keep up with it.
Yeah, I dug it. It's my most excited for anime.
Oh, we're gonna watch it together. You don't have Hulu. Do you have Hulu?
I have Hulu.
I don't know. You always like, oh, I hate Hulu.
I have it. That's why you pay for it. Because to watch this shit.
I guess. They do have some pretty good. I would say it would like power rank streaming services based on the anime they provide. Crunchyroll 1.
No chance. For what? Our job specifically?
What do you mean? Like, I'm saying like.
I guess.
Like, what's the go through? Like, hey, number one streaming service for anime. Number two, number three.
Oh, for anime. Yeah. Crunchyroll, obviously.
One.
Yeah. One's Crunchyroll.
Two Netflix?
Netflix, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Because
but Netflix anime isn't
anime.
Good. So, well, also, it's not.
Yeah, like Castlevania good. Is not a real anime. What? Yeah. What's.
Okay, good animated Netflix projects are not anime, and yeah. anime from Netflix is bad.
Beastars, fantastic.
Is that on Netflix?
Yeah. Netflix, O-Ridge. Fantastic.
O-Ridge?
Original.
Oh,
get with it, Fogey.
Oh, he's calling me a Fogey?
Yeah.
I don't think we can say that word anymore.
No? What is it? Does it not mean what I think it means?
Yeah.
It meant like, what does it mean?
Ugh.
Fucking oldie, right?
Ugh, Fogey.
It's Fogey.
Pretty sure that's what the French call cigarettes, but that's okay. Yikes.
No chance.
Yikes, Danny.
No chance.
I just, listen, I'm the, like, I don't, listen, I'm allowed to cancel myself.
Hold on,
but
hold
I'm not,
on, hold on.
I'm gaslighting you. Fogey means fucking oldie.
Full of... I typed in foggy.
Nice.
Full of fog. Full of or accompanied by fog.
Nice. That's
like,
me.
Got him, bitch. Let me see. Person typically an old one.
Yeah, I know. I was kidding. I was doing
not
that.
Canceled.
I was doing the you can't say pilgrim word anymore. You've never seen that clip before?
No.
Somebody was a stream. Somebody was like, oh, pilgrims. And it's like, you can't say that anymore. And it was like, no, I was trying to trick you into believing you were canceled. It's all right. We'll just.
I was half.
we'll just fucking beep it out.
I was half. Look, I wasn't like actually panicked, but I was like, there's no way that's true. Well, because then you're like, that doesn't mean what you think it does. And I was like, I guess no one's ever told me what it means. Like, yeah, no, I guess I have.
No one's ever sat down and had an extended conversation about slang with me.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't just be repeating things I learned in college humor videos 18 years ago.
Yeah, back when everything was cool. Yeah. But yeah, no, so I'm definitely gonna keep up with it.
Yeah.
My Hero came out.
No.
My Hero Academia came out. So apparently, yeah. So Danny came into the house today and he was like, dude, My Hero Academia set season 7 is out. There's 2 episodes. I was like, what are you talking? I was like, no, it's come out till mid-May. And he's like, no. On Crunchyroll, there's 2 episodes. And Crunchyroll, which is ridiculous that it's our number one streaming service because it does this kind of shit all the fucking time, where they're like, oh, yeah, season 7, 2 episodes. And it was just like a recap episode about Deku and a recap episode about All Might.
Yeah. It was real weird.
And it was listed as, in what's annoying about in Crunchyroll, and they still do this to this day, is that not only do they like not, they're not like, oh, season 1, season 2, season 3. It's like season 1, English, French, Spanish, Dutch, yeah. German. And it's like, oh my God, I'm going to kill myself. And then it's like, anytime a new OVA or a movie drops, it's like season 62, episode 1. Yeah. And I'm like, what is, how has that UI not been fixed yet? But apparently they dropped 2 recap episodes and they're like, yeah, this is season 7.
They're weird. My God.
Oh, yeah?
They're, heavens. Mm-hmm. They're weird recap episodes, too.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, recapping the beginning of season 5.
It's also just immediately into, like, it's like a it's like an episode in the middle of a season.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, here's exactly where you left off, and there's no recap or, like, telling you why you're here.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, Deku is talking to Yoshinori, and you're like, what? I don't, what? Why are we in the meta abilities area?
Yeah, it's super strange.
So odd.
Should we talk about Kaiju number 8? Should we talk about another thing we watched? What else did we watch?
Well, so another one. I watched Windbreaker, right. Slime Isekai, Kaiju number 8. We have some flashback news, a little bit of Best Boy news, and that's actually it.
Yeah, that'll fill us.
Yeah, that'll fill us right up. All right, fine. Let's talk about Kaiju number 8.
Okay.
I want to know what you felt. Because Kaiju number 8 means a lot to me.
Does it?
It means I love this manga. I literally just reread the entire thing in the past week, which isn't that impressive. It's 105 chapters. It's not like, oh my God.
It's a lot.
It's not that much. I mean,
it's a fat read.
I mean, it's like half. I mean, Chainsaw Man's at like 150, and that's like one of the shorter manga I'm keeping up with right now. But I reread the entire thing. It's so much goddamn fun. But here's my thing. At 3 chapters an episode, like burn-wise, 100 chapters is only 24 episodes?
You love theorizing.
48 episodes?
How many episodes a thing is going to take to finish the manga?
Well, like, here's the thing. It's like Kaiju number 8, I don't know. Like, they're currently, like, the main protagonist, Kaiju number 8, Kafka, is battling against the main antagonist of the first 100 chapters right now in the manga. And it's slowed down pretty substantially, like, the manga release. It's like, it used to be, like, every week, and now it's every 2 weeks. Now it's every 3 weeks, and he takes every 4th, like, chapter release off. It's a whole thing. So, like, the manga release has slowed way, way down. It's weird, though, because I'm like, is this story only going to be 120 chapters long? In which case, it's only going to be a 48-episode anime. And everyone's like, oh, Kaiju number 8, next up. And I'm like, Kaiju number 8 will be gone by 2027.
Where are you getting this 3 chapters per episode metric?
It's what most new gen anime do.
This first episode is half of a chapter.
Yeah, because the first episode, because the first chapter is 40 pages long.
Yeah.
Which, okay, average manga chapter, 15 pages.
No. Yeah. Like 20.
Nope.
Like 18.
Industry standard is 15. You can open any...
What manga do you want me to open up?
MHA.
Okay.
Don't open One Punch Man, because that One Punch Man has no page limits, and occasionally he goes really hard, or like he puts out 9 pages. He's also not on a weekly release schedule. Chainsaw Man, MHA, JJK. All 15 pages. I can guarantee it's anywhere between 14 and 16.
Okay, let's see.
17 max.
Chapter 420. Hot dog, it's 15.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm aware.
One Piece is 18.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. But he also skips every fourth chapter nowadays, so he might be trying to catch up. Like, he might be doing, like, oh, 3 extra pages.
I mean, I'm reading chapters that came out in, like, 1998.
Okay, never mind. Like, yeah, he was, like, that was back when he was healthy. That was back when he could do things. Right. So, most episodes of anime cover 40-ish pages of content.
Okay.
At least in new-gen pacing. And so something I was talking about recently on TikTok is the fact that One Piece, because of Oda's health and the manga, like, slowly getting cut into by the anime, only does about 0.8 chapters per episode. Jeez. Yeah, it's almost 4 times slower than new-gen anime.
I mean, I think it also would... I would assume it would depend on the content of the show, because, like, for example, season 1 of Blue Lock... is like the first 11 volumes of Blue Lock, which is a ton, and that's because it's just fucking soccer.
It's running, yeah. It's literally just like kicking the ball. Running. Yeah,
yeah. Whereas like something like JJK, you can like beef up the episodes a bit by showing like a 10-minute long action scene.
Well, here's my thing, is still JJK, like the Shibuya incident was 3 chapters an episode. And it's like, what's mostly because there's a lot of fights.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like a lot of fights. It's like, oh, you know, a fight can be adapted. I don't know if a fight gets adapted faster in manga or anime in terms of like a burn rate.
Yeah, I don't, that also kind of depends because like on one hand,
you're going to put in between animations to get you to those certain panels. But at the same time, like you could beef up a fight. You can make it longer like they did with Mahoraga and Sukuna, or you could make it like it happens super quick. It's just like panel, panel, panel.
Honestly, all a fight needs in a manga to feel satisfying is like 2 to 3 pages of like little panel fights. And then, like, one full page of just, like, a big uppercut. Yeah. And then the fight's pretty much over.
I guess that's fair. As long as it's not, like, an important fight, it usually lasts half a chapter.
Yeah.
Like, most manga fights last a chapter, maybe two, if they're, like, actually important. Yeah. And that's kind of what's going on in Kaiju No. 8's manga right now. It's, like, all the final battles, it feels like. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to be a 48-episode anime.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. I couldn't believe it. But episode 1.
Yeah.
I want to know what you thought. Because you haven't read the manga, you have no preconceived notion.
I read the first chapter.
Okay. So sorry.
So I know this and the next episode.
I guess.
Yeah.
You got up until he started peeing out of his nipples, and then you're like, nope, done.
Like, too much.
This is not a good Christian book anymore.
This is too much piss, too much nipple for me.
What is the threshold on that?
Any amount of piss.
Okay.
Don't care for it.
Oh, any amount of piss.
Yeah.
Like, not even like a weak drizzle. Like, what if instead of a spurt, it was like a... more of like a lactation kind of thing. It was like a sweat specifically out of his nipples.
There's no scenario in which they do that bit and I'm like, good show.
Mm-mm, good show, sir. You have such a snobby taste in anime.
The second
somebody makes like a physical humor joke, you're like,
I don't like piss coming out of nipples.
That's a great joke.
What are you talking about?
Oh, no, I have to pee. And he's like, oh, I don't know where I pee in this kaiju form. Doesn't have a penis because he's smooth.
Wow, I think I see why the stand-up comedy failed.
Oh, says the man.
It was closed.
And water still came out.
Pretty good bit.
Yeah, he did. See, is it too close to home? Is that what it is? When you see it's a piss bit, and you're like, how fucking dare they?
Yeah, they don't know the nuance of a good piss bit. Look, there's a dick on my shirt.
Oh, nice. It looks more like a battle axe, but
yeah, I'll take that too.
Yeah, or like a set of lungs. Kind of looks like a set of lungs.
I feel like I'm getting wetter by the second somehow.
Did you enjoy the first chapter you read?
Yeah, it was good. It gets significantly better after this episode, which is, that's why, like, the episode ended, and I was like, oh, God, I, like, can't even form an opinion on this. Because the same thing was Solo Leveling. I watched the first episode, and I was like, That hardly happened.
Kind of just the dude walking until a problem gets real bad.
Yeah, it felt like I almost didn't even watch an episode.
Yeah.
Like, I have like two notes. And the first note is...
Oh, I thought you said tune notes. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Did the musical score not sit well with you?
Well, actually...
The musical score was very odd.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I didn't say, like, I'm not, like, saying it was bad. I just said interesting score.
I wrote music next level rips. I thought it
was. It's kind of like freeform destruction jazz.
It's like pretty fucking incredible.
Whenever there's like a big moment, it kind of sounds like they're just like throwing a piano down the stairs. Like, it's like, I'm not like opposed to it. Like, it's a good way to like build stress. Like, non-structured music is inherently stressful.
It felt like, I don't know a lot about music, but like, it felt like the impressiveness of like an orchestral piece to me. Like, it felt like there was a lot going on in the music. Like, I was listening to, like, a Final Fantasy or Madoka Magica theme.
Yeah.
And I was like, when the action sequence is happening, like, when the soldiers are running down the skyscraper and, like, sliding in, it was just, like, tearing up. And yeah. I was like, this is incredible.
It's just so... I think the first time that I ever genuinely, at least like as an adult, appreciated the score was last season with JJK, or two seasons ago with JJK season two. Because I don't know, for a long time, I was just like, I'm such a visual person that I was just like, pretty colors. Wonder Egg Priority, I think, was actually the first one where I was like, oh, the score in this is incredible.
I don't remember a lot of JJK's score.
Really?
Except the intro.
Like, yeah, I mean, the intro is really, really good. But like, there was moments, like, it's just like, there was moments that I felt the sound matched exactly what they were trying to do on screen really well. And it was like, a good example would be like the takoyaki splitting open from Toji, and they like just left it silent. What JJK, and what I realized about the score was like, they used silence so well.
Yeah.
And I think this does the exact opposite.
Yeah.
This uses the possible chaotic nature of sound pretty well to build out tension.
Yeah, you know what? There's a moment where he jumps out of a window and like, there's like a little drum beat where it's like, and then, like, a little glass shard, like, cuts his cheek.
Yeah.
And there's another drum beat on that cut.
Yeah.
And there's, like, a final sound as it cuts to a wide and he falls out. I was like, that's when I was like, oh, this is, like, a fucking musical genius at work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Somebody's cooking.
Yes. I think somebody's cooking.
No, oh, that's a stroke. Never mind.
Yeah.
I want to talk about something that is going to be less popular.
Okay.
I don't like the way it looks.
Let's go. That's new for you.
I don't like the way it looks.
Like the redesigns. He looks like a big chubby kid.
Right.
He doesn't look like a man. He looked like a man in the fucking manga.
There's a lack of detail in the face that makes me like kind of viscerally like, and it's not even just Kafka. It's everybody.
Yeah.
Like Reno just kind of looks like bald with hair. They're all so soft.
Interesting.
Like, it looks like he's wearing a wig or something. They all just look too soft. And like, this is a 32-year-old man whose job is to cut into, dissect, carry, and schlep kaiju carcasses around. He's been doing it. He's failed his entire life. He should look grizzled. And in the manga, like, the manga's, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, the manga's, you know, One Punch Man level, like, gorgeous. But like, the manga is like this, it's not like gritty and it's not even highly detailed, but like there's a difference, right? Like it's like,
oh yeah,
it's like,
oh,
well, sure. Cell shaded, like, and the, I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, the characters' faces have so much detail, because inherently they don't. But like something about, I think they took the edges out. Like, I think they rounded a lot of things because like Kafka in the manga has like a very like sharp pointed chin.
Yeah.
And yeah, he has like a very sharp pointed chin, and they rounded, and so does everybody. Like, everybody has very sharp chins, and they rounded everybody out, and now it just feels like I'm looking at like, but they look like, you know what they look like? They look like Mii's. They look like Mii's.
They do look like Mii's.
They fucking, and it's just like,
I thought they looked like Invader Zim characters.
Yeah. And it's just like, I look at them and I'm like, I still love the story. I still find it hilarious. I like, it's got some of my favorite characters in all of manga. Like, I love Reno. I love Kuriko. I love Mina. I love Kafka. But like, I'm looking at them and I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to take your serious moments seriously if you look like this.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because the kaiju look great. The action looks really good. The score is fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, I don't know why we would round out the faces. I don't know. It's just sticking with me.
I know. It's very strange. I also didn't care for it just because, like I said, I think it's like one of the cooler bits about Kaiju Number 8, the manga, is that it features like a grown ass man.
Yeah.
And I remember like talking to some of my friends who also read manga, and they were like that was an appealing aspect to them. They're like, oh, finally something that's like an adult. Mm-hmm. And obviously like a lot of people preferred anime characters to be teenagers because a lot of people watch anime are teenagers. And I have no...
I had to have this full conversation with Dorothy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in a second.
I have like no problem with like, you know, JJK, like My Hero, their ages or anything like that. But it's like when I saw Kaiju Number 8 like first appear as a manga, I was also like, oh, that's kind of cool. Someone older than me, yeah. Like for once. And it sucks that they rounded him out. And he looks kind of like derpier than like before.
Because like he is a derpy character, and like there is a lot of physical comedy throughout this show. Mm. I would say it's like 70% of One Punch Man, because like he's not One Punch Man. Like he has to like actually, like he's the strongest kaiju ever. But like he still has to like train and like struggle in all of his battles because he doesn't know how to fully tap into his kaiju power until like even, oh, Chopstick Mike, no. Okay. All right. Do we only need one chopstick?
That's how she's done.
That's
baby.
So big. But he still needs to struggle to get everything that he has. And that's one of my favorite aspects of it. It's like, it's okay. Like every time Saitama shows up in the One Punch Man manga, you're like, okay, all of the tension is gone.
Yeah.
Cause he's gonna one punch his way out of it. And that's the joke. Like that's the way it's supposed to be. So I'm not knocking One Punch Man for doing that, but like, there's a lot of physical comedy and things in this, but like, there's so much action packed into this, like 110 chapters. That, like, there's 15 identified kaiju, and during these 110 chapters, there's 7 that appear. And so, like, 15 all time. There's been kaiju appearing for 400 years in Japan. 7 more appear in the 110 chapters. And it's so much, like, densely packed, like, action that there's, like, not much time for comedy, but there is really funny moments.
Yeah.
And so, like, him being built like that is, I guess, kind of good if you're trying to convey the... like comedy aspect, and all of his more serious moments happen while he's in his kaiju form anyways, but just like everybody looking like that upsets me. Cause I know like Reno, who's going to have some incredible moments down the line, is still going to look like that.
Yeah. Well, the kaiju also looks different. The kaiju's also a little doughier, which is strange.
And the other gripe I would have with how it works is like, everything's kind of muted colors wise. Like it's like a muted color palette, and that I don't know why that upsets me so much. And it's really why I couldn't get into the adaptation of Hell's Paradise. Cause I was like,
oh, interesting.
This is supposed to be heaven, nirvana, like the highest circle of existence. Like, and these are supposed to be flower beings that you're fighting against. Like these ultra strong flower gods that like when you cut them in half turn into giant flower deities with two heads, and everything was just so, it was like watercolor.
Yeah. I mean, I like it in Hell's Paradise. Mm. I dig the aesthetic, but I think like, I don't know. My biggest thing about Kaiju Number 8's visuals. And I talked about this when the trailers were coming out, it's just not doing anything I haven't seen before. Yeah. Like it's just very generic in color and style. And like, which isn't like, I don't think every anime needs to look different, but we're in an age now where it's like, Ranking of Kings, Demon Slayer, Attack on Titan, JJK, Chainsaw Man, all of these anime are like indistinguishable from each other. Mm-hmm. And they all have such different, vastly like experimental art styles.
Indistinguishable from each other.
Yeah, what'd I say?
That would be, no, you said indistinguishable. That means that they would all look exactly
They're
the
distinguishable.
Same. Okay,
from,
I was going to say. Yeah. I was like, the 5 anime just listed are massively different looking.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like now, like in 2008, that era of like, you know, Full Metal Alchemist, like Soul Eater, not that those shows look the same, like Soul Eater and Full Metal don't look necessarily the same, but like,
They
look very different, but like I feel like anime looks way different now. Like art styles are getting more experimental nowadays than they used to.
I am going to go the exact opposite way.
Wow.
I think if anything, anime art style has gotten more conservative nowadays than it used to be. Because if you look back at like the big anime of the early 2010s, late 2000s, you have Soul Eater, which has a incredibly unique vibe. Everyone's very long. Everyone's very flat. You know, like big, like, you know, like zombie characters, those kinds of things. And we're going to talk about this in Windbreaker because I think it has some of the best character design I've seen in years. But Soul Eater, it's like, it's because it's a, like a mixture of Meisters, zombies, and weapons. So like everybody has his own unique looks. And then there's like things like that, Blood Lad, Madoka Magica with its like mix of like the paper mache style and everyone being super short. I thought was really cool. Like it, like if you look back at in this like and then you look at like the more there's kind of like a. Not like a, there was like a noir style that was popular between like 2004 and 2009. It was like Lupin the Third, Samurai Champloo, Afro Samurai, like this like
those kind definitely
of
looked similar,
dark shaded, kind of like gangly looking
I
characters.
Will say that like what I was trying to get at is that like there was an era where every anime to me looks like Bleach.
Big three.
No, not even because Naruto doesn't look like One Piece, which doesn't look like Bleach. But like Bleach looks a bit like Naruto, I could give you. But like Bleach looks like Yu Yu Hakusho, which looks like if Bungo Stray Dogs didn't have the thick outlines, it just looked like Bleach. Like any anime that took place in just like a modern day Tokyo looked like Bleach.
Mm-hmm. Fair. And that's why I think this most recent season of JJK has done such a good job of distinguishing itself from the pack by playing with other animation styles and mixing them in, having separate directors come in for different episodes and like keeping the look of the show dynamic.
I don't know.
I think maybe on the biggest sense, because like Gintama also falls into that categorization where it's like Gintama, while it was like highly detailed at points, it like also at times just did kind of look like Bleach.
Yeah.
And so it was like the willingness to push. I think where really that diversity comes from is the willingness to push in character design.
Yeah.
And I think that's why Kaiju number 8 is probably going to fall behind a little bit in like people's visual.
Yeah.
Like visual, like, oh, like I love the way this looks because nobody in Kaiju number 8 is that unique looking.
Yeah.
Like it's like the most unique person.
Other than the Kaiju.
Yeah, the Kaiju look cool, but like the most unique looking person from the Defense Force is like Gen Narumi, who won't show up this season probably. And he's got, and that's mostly because he's got like two colored hair and cool eyes. Like Mina's just like a Japanese girl with a big gun. And then there's a couple of other Japanese girls with big guns. And then Reno just has different colored hair.
Yeah.
And then everybody else, there's like a couple of people in the Defense Force who do look cool. Kikuro is just the blonde girl. You know, it's like, so like the character design isn't anything to like blow you out of the water. What's supposed to blow you out of the water is like character relationships, the development, the jokes, and then the action.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I'm saying like, I think I need more than episode one to determine how good this will be. Cause he didn't even he's not even the Kaiju yet.
My thing is, Kaiju number 8, the fights in the manga are really good. I just don't know if they're going to like stand up against fights we've gotten recently. Like, I think people are going to be who's doing it?
I have no idea.
Who's animating it? You don't know?
No.
God, I have photos of Hisoka open. I think is it not Cloverworks?
No, Cloverworks was Bochi.
Oh, Production IG.
Yeah, some production, who, I guess.
Production IG, the people who did the early seasons of Attack on Titan.
No.
Yeah?
No.
Yeah, season 3. Season
That's
3,
Wit.
Part 2.
That's Wit Studios.
I'm seeing Production IG did Attack on Titan, Attack on Titan 2, Attack on Titan Season 3, Attack on Season 3, Part 2.
Simply Wit.
And, oh, wait, no. And then they're saying Attack on Titan, the final season. And then they're saying they did Haikyuu and Vinland Saga. This is all things that MAPPA did. I think they're confused. They also said they did Neon Genesis Evangelion, the end of Evangelion.
I mean, I buy that one. This looks a little like it.
And they also said they did Fooly Cooly. I don't think my anime list is correct here.
I'm on Wikipedia. They did a bunch of stuff I haven't heard of and also Ghost in the Shell.
They've done Haikyuu. That's true. The Deer King, Kuroko no Basketball. They did a lot of sport. Okay, so they did do Evangelion. And then Ghost in the Shell. Yeah, a lot of older stuff.
Cooly.
They did do Fooly Cooly, which I've actually never seen. Have you seen Fooly Cooly?
It's pretty sick.
I've heard. Fooly Cooly is the anime that the worst person you know, it's their favorite anime.
Yeah.
But I've heard it's pretty good.
It's really, really hard to watch in sub because it's so fast. It's like breakneck speed. It's like MTV core where it feels like a Gorillaz music video and the music rips. It's like a mix between like a Studio Trigger thing and Gorillaz. What?
Oh, nothing. I'm just reading a pandemonium. I saw the word stream and I got worried that they couldn't hear us. Yeah, no, I've heard really good things about it, and I probably should watch it. I've just genuinely never gotten around to it, and I don't know why. But I do want to bring something, one final thing up about Kaiju number 8. What are you, why are you so fixated?
I don't know, people are talking about us.
What are they talking about? I mean, they are watching our podcast. They should probably be talking about us.
Suppose.
Yeah.
Go on. Yeah.
I can go on.
Gone.
Yeah. The final thing I want to talk about with Kaiju number 8.
Yeah.
Simultaneous release of dub and sub.
Yeah, that's hype. I wish I knew. I watched it in sub.
I watched it in dub. I didn't even like intend to watch it in dub. I just clicked on it in Crunchyroll and just autoplayed dub. And I was like, what the fuck?
Damn.
It was wild.
That's awesome. What luxury treatment.
It was insane. I was like, I don't think I have English set as my preferential language here. I feel like I usually watch things in sub. Oh. My last thing on Kaiju number 8
yeah.
is that I watched the first episode of Dorothy and she even told you that she was enjoying it.
Yeah, that's interesting.
She loves the jokes.
Does she?
Loves the jokes.
None stand out to me.
She loved when it like panned over to him and he was a kaiju. She loved when the old man walked and like started dialing on the phone.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of funny.
Ate that up. It's not the kind of anime I thought she would be into at all. It's literally a power shonen.
Yeah.
And
interesting.
She's super into it.
That's good.
And I had to have objectively a conversation no person wants to have with their partner where I was like, oh yeah, no, like people are super stoked on it because the MC, he's 32. And so he's an adult.
Yeah.
She was like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, you know, because like most anime MCs are like 14, 16. She was like, that's weird. And I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, it's weird you're watching stories about 16-year-olds. And I was like, hold up.
She's a little late for this.
I was like, okay, hold up. Meanwhile, we've been watching Vampire Diaries in the house, which is very much a story about high schoolers played by 40-year-olds.
What, has she never been in this room before?
I think she thought they were all like 20. I genuinely think she thought they were all 20.
I guess that's fair. They are drawn older looking.
Well, I had to be like, all right, listen. It says they're 14, they're 16, but they're driving around, they're shooting guns, they're drawn to look 25.
Yeah. It says they're 14, but us cool kids know that they're like old enough.
Sure, Shiro, she says she's 16, but like, if I'm believing Sanji, she's older.
And women lie.
Women do lie. Every woman wants to be younger, right? Yeah. They're always like, no, I'm 16, they're 25. We all know you're hiding the wrinkles with your makeup. Anyways, so I had to have this like whole thing where I was like, this might reflect on me poorly. Where I was like, no. It's fine. I was like, that's why. I had to backpedal because she was like, it's weird that you're into all these shows about children. I was like, that's why I'm so big on Kaiju number 8. That's why everyone's coming around on it. It's about the 32-year-old. So yeah.
She's so late on that.
I was eye-opening. I had to explain to her.
So
I was like,
funny.
I was like, the average American consumer our age is going to be like, why can't they be in college? And it's like, because the majority of people reading manga are 14-year-old Japanese boys.
It's so funny because manga and anime, for the most part, are so adult.
Yes.
Even My Hero is like so violent.
Especially nowadays in the manga.
Yeah, even nowadays in the anime. It's like wicked violent. It's wicked dark.
It's led to the demise of MHA, but yeah.
It's so crazy that like, manga and anime are targeted towards teens and children, considering they would all be rated R if they were Western properties.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's just like, because that's the thing, if you think about it, like what's an anime that like a manga that seems legitimately coded towards children? Fairy Tale?
My Hero?
No. But like we were just saying, it's like, okay, like if you were to say like, oh, this is a
PG-13. But what do you mean though? Because Fairy Tale is like horny as hell.
So are 14-year-old boys.
But Fairy Tale's like pornography.
What is your perception of horny?
Fairy Tale's crazy.
Is so wild.
Fairy Tale's so horny.
It's not like, all right, Fairy Tale is not horny. Like, in terms of the grand anime spectrum, Fairy Tale is not that horny.
Fairy Tale is.
Urza's transformations are a bit too much. Yeah, Lucy's fucking spilling out of her top.
All Lucy does is get fucked.
Elaborate?
No.
You're going to elaborate. I don't think you've watched Fairy Tale.
The only clips I've seen of Lucy are her getting schlorked.
Oh, Please, please send those clips to me when you do get it. when you do get a
for
chance.
For sure, dog. For sure. Anytime.
Yeah, we have a Google Drive. Yeah. 16 terabytes. No. 5 nuclear bombs.
I don't know what you're saying.
You don't know the,
I don't know any of caterpillar these bits.
Yeah, I fucking. Well, we'll talk. We'll talk off screen. Anyways.
I hate when you do. You don't know Skibbity Toilet? You like,
I'm sorry that I'm tapped into the young people meta.
I guess so.
I'm so you fucking. You fogey. I almost called you a gooner. I don't know why. Gooner came to the front of the bridge. You fucking
don't
gooner.
Make up slang, you, I won't know.
You don't know gooner? You ain't gooning right now? You're not gooning? I've been gooning. Are you not?
I love it's just a way to scare like a dad where it's like, you're not gooning, dude. I've been gooning since 7 a.m. You just stick a knife in your head.
just like no blood comes out. It's like, that's because of the goon. Yeah.
You're goon, old man.
it's like, I don't know what I do. Oh, fuck. Yeah, fairy tale's not that horny.
You're so wrong.
You people.
What do you mean, you people?
People who don't know what horny is. People who have this twisted perception of what porn is. This is like you stumbling into your dungeon meshy is horny take last week and then getting eviscerated in our TikTok comments.
No one agrees with me. Fairy tale is kind of horny.
You're all desensitized. All fairy tale is horny.
Okay, you know what? Then okay, here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna list some anime.
Yeah.
And on a spectrum that you've definitely watched. And on a spectrum of 1 to 10, you're gonna tell me how horny.
Here's the thing. Just because it's not literally porn, that's the thing. People watch like insane.
You just keep flashing your hand in front of my camera.
Here's the thing. People keep like people watch these like crazy obscure anime like interspecies reviewers that are literal porn.
Okay, all right,
literal actual porn.
That's the end of the spectrum.
But that's what I'm saying. People will like be like, there's actual for real voice acted, well animated hentai. And look,
there absolutely is.
Yeah, no, I know there is.
I'm big on Hatsukoi time right now. But, 6 episodes. Great shit.
But I'm saying people will
That's a legitimate recommendation. Look into Hatsukoi time. Great hentai.
People will be like, this show's not actually that horny. It's not this actual porn. Mm-hmm. That's like me being like, oh, Game of Thrones isn't that horny. Have you ever watched Asian gets her back blown out on Brazzers? Like, just because there is porn doesn't mean...
Slutty Chinese woman tied up and gagged with cock.
Have you ever watched Dumb Slut that looks like Velma gets cocked in the throat? Like, oh. I guess that means fucking Spartacus doesn't have nudity in it.
Like... how'd last night turn out for you? Oh, I cocked this girl in the throat. She okay?
That's what I'm saying. People be like, oh, you have no idea what a pervy anime is.
Your perception is so like, because no. Okay, you watch like fucking,
I watch shit you prescribe to me.
Yeah. Okay. What I've given you is not even that horny. If I gave you Konosuba, you'd have a fucking heart attack. You'd have an aneurysm 3 episodes in. One of the main characters, Aqua, her entire bit is that she wears a skirt that literally doesn't cover her ass. They have a tank in their guild. They have a tank in their group who's a sadist. So she just loves being hurt. So anytime she gets cut, she's just moaning. It's fucking great.
Pretty horny.
It's super horny, but it's horny for the sake of funny.
All right, give me the spectrum.
Okay, the 10 is interspecies reviewer. Uh-huh. Not technically a hentai because it gets 12 episodes. Like 12 episode, you know, there's going to be boobs, but like it's not like, you know, there's no, you're not going to see penetration. Interspecies reviewer.
I think you do.
I don't think you do. I think interspecies reviewer. I never watched it. It popped up on anime.
I watched the first episode. You see crazy shit.
Oh, it's wild.
Yeah.
I mean, it's literally a story about two dudes meeting in a bar and be like, we gotta fuck these elves. That's literally it.
Yeah.
All right. 10 is interspecies reviewer. 1 is FMAB. FMAB is pretty sexless, I feel like.
Yeah. Or like Death Note.
Death Note's pretty sexless, yeah. I feel like. Okay. All right. JJK. And cite your sources.
What's 5?
5 for me, fairy tale.
You're crazy.
Fairy tale
would
be
crazy, 5.
You're
crazy, old man.
Here's the thing. You just have it. Or you, the
fairy
top
tale's
end,
8.
The top end of your spectrum is so not weighed down by the decisions of 14, 15-year-old Danny watching anime.
Fairy tale is just fetish content.
It is. straight up just not that. It's just straight up not that. It isn't. Like, okay,
I put JJK at like three.
To put Fairy Tail at eight would just imply like, all right, then where would you put High School of the Dead? Have you seen High School of the Dead?
Yeah.
You have?
But I think it's just that one scene.
Which one scene?
You know, where the boobs dodge a bullet. Ding, 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 baby. I think it's like just that. I'd put High School of the Dead at like also eight.
That's in, yeah, yeah. That's
they're the same. They're the same, I'd say.
As Fairy Tail?
As Fairy Tale.
It's literally High School of the Dead is High School DxD, but with zombies instead of demons. Where do you put High School DxD?
I haven't seen it. I don't know what that is. Is it porn?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Most of the stickers around here on all my desks come from High School DxD.
I'd put shout out
to Zenovia, best girl.
If JJK is three, One Piece is four.
Cause Nami? Just because, like, Nami constantly being...
Because Sanji.
Okay, but, like, Sanji's horny. That doesn't make the show horny.
All the women are naked.
Zenitsu is horny. Yeah. Does that make Demon Slayer horny?
No, because the women aren't also sexual objects.
I... Expound on that, please.
Other than Daki...
Dobby. You're right.
Not
Dobby.
Dobby's a sexual object.
According to the MHA girlies, Dobby is a sexual object. Yeah.
Other than Daki and Mitsuri. He's loading up. Holy shit. Well, he did it.
That burns. Yeah, oh, that burns.
G Fuel Sage mode.
Oh, God. Naruto's in me.
Other than Mitsuri, Mitsuri's pretty horny. Like, or Mitsuri, like, is the show's horny at Mitsuri. Daki's...
No, yeah, Tanjiro does trip into her boobs or something like that, yeah.
And Daki's just hot.
Daki's just hot?
Daki's not like, you know, we're not getting upskirts of Daki. I think the prostitute stuff was done, like, pretty
geishas,
tastefully.
They're not walking around in bikinis.
Yeah. I think Demon Slayer is, like, pretty fine in terms of
that. So where's Demon Slayer on the spectrum?
Two, three, next to JJK.
So JJK's three.
Yeah.
Demon Slayer's two. Oh, you know what'd be fun? If we tried to fill a list, 1 to 10, on the horniness spectrum.
Okay.
That's it right there. One's FMAB.
Yeah.
Two's Demon Slayer.
Yeah.
Three's JJK.
Yeah. What's four?
What's four?
I'm doing all of them?
This is you. This is my spectrum would be so vastly different from yours. You said that Fairy Tail and High School of the Dead were neck and neck.
I'd put Beastars at seven.
Fair. There is literal animal on animal, like, scrunching and punching.
But it doesn't last long. It's like...
Neither do I. It doesn't mean when I do it, it's not horny, all right?
It's like two or three episodes have... hot and bothered action.
Which is a lot.
But Fairy Tail is 100% balls to clit.
just upside down ball smashing clit action. It's fucking gross and disgusting. I hate you.
What? What are you looking at?
We
have four viewers. What happened?
I don't know. I think it might have crashed.
Oh, no.
All right.
66.
Okay. Cool, whatever.
Not that it genuinely matters. Everyone away.
Yeah, you're just like, yeah, just like
this segment.
This,
no
this
like,
ball on clit action,
gone,
baby.
Unsubscribe.
Fucking
sue.
Just steal $4.99 back from us.
Yeah.
All right, number four.
Number four.
Beyond JJK. It's a tough pick.
Just trying to think of other anime I've seen.
Naruto. Where's Naruto for you? What'd you say One Piece was?
Like three?
We can't.
Fuck.
Three's been taken.
Yeah, it was like Full Metal, Demon Slayer. Well, it's not fair if I'm like, oh, all the slots are full. One Piece is nine.
Well, you don't have to put One Piece on the list then.
Okay. Like Naruto.
We're building a spectrum.
Yeah, if nothing is on the list, I guess Naruto's worse than JJK. Naruto's four.
Naruto's hornier than JJK.
Yeah, Naruto's four. Jiraiya.
But okay, just because he's horny doesn't make the show horny.
Kakashi. Guy.
Okay, Kakashi's reading a book. Listen, once again, kind of, but like, all right, literally what we
talked. Sexy jutsu.
Literally what we talked about. Okay, that I can accept. That I can absolutely accept. But it's, Kakashi is literally what we talked about last week, where I'm like, we got to start prosecuting people who are reading porn books in public. True. And you were like, no, they're fine. I can read my centaur smut on the railway.
He's
and
a then, teacher.
And then we, so are half of the book talk girls.
He's teacher doing it at school.
And then like, hey, can we read your book? And he's like, oh, no, not yet.
Naruto's 4, I guess.
That's fair. I can take that. Is what's 5 then? Is it? I would say it's Fairy Tale, but I want to know what yours is. Because like, here, let's not be real. Like
let's not be real. Let's like, be fake for a second.
Tsunade does have jiggle physics.
Tsunade's
got jizzle physics.
Yes.
Jizzle.
Oh, I got jizzle.
She got my jizzle physics, if you know what I mean. I got her tattooed onto my arm. I can't see her.
Hello. Go on.
What's 5?
What's 5? Dragon Ball?
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Yeah, because
I just looked at Vegeta and I was like, you were pretty horny before Z.
We're always seeing Bulma's underwear.
Yeah.
We see Goku's penis multiple times.
Yeah.
Like too many times.
He like pats Chi-Chi's child vagina.
He pats a lot of women's vaginas. He does it to Bulma as well.
There's a ton of pedophilia in Dragon Ball and a lot of Akira Toriyama's works.
Yep. In
Dr. Slump and Rayleigh.
In his book before Dragon Boy, the one shot that inspired Dragon Ball, it's literally just him running around, just like groping women. It's crazy. Akira Toriyama loved a little touch, a little scoop and grab. Jeez. He loved that shit. All right, 5 Dragon Ball, 6.
All right, what if I don't watch a lot of horny stuff. What do I watch?
You know what? You know be a good answer here?
Food Wars?
Food Wars at 6?
It's really not that horny.
You gotta sit in it. What do you mean?
It gets more about the food than the sex.
You know what would be
a good
answer at 6? SAO.
Okay.
It's got vine scenes where the girls get groped, they get flip side down, they get upskirted.
Yeah.
You know, you're watching the first season of SAO and you're like, God damn it. Do we have to?
Yeah.
Fucking not Asuna. Asuna and Kirito literally they fuck. They fucking like episode 8.
Yeah.
And she like gets in her underwear and he's like, well, we're doing this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's horny.
Food Wars stops feeling horny to me because after like episode 3. It feels like an obligation. It feels like they're like...
You get gaslit into enjoying it. You're like, you know what? It's about time those scallops get inside this woman.
Well, by like episode 3, it feels like they're just doing it because it's what's expected of them. It feels like they just want to be a cooking
show. It's like you with bits. You're like, oh, fuck. I need more honey sticks.
What are you saying? It's like you with pussy.
You with pussy. I gotta keep smashing all this primo pussy because it's expected of me.
But like, yeah, it's like Food Wars gets really lazy. Like the porn bits feel tired to the point where I'm like, this isn't even horny anymore. You're just like checking a box.
You're trying to buff out how many minutes you got in this episode.
What's 8 and 9?
What, did you already do 7? 7 Fairy Tale for you?
Yeah.
7 is Fairy Tale.
Yeah.
It's just wild. It's just a wild thing to say. All right, 8.
What's a horny show?
Yeah, man, High School of the Dead is a good show. It's a good 8.
I haven't seen it since I was like 12. Yeah, I
haven't seen it since I was like 14.
All right, 8, High School of the Dead.
Left a big impression on me. Yeah. You know what I mean? A great 9. Hmm. Prison School. Prison School is a great 9.
I'll do Rosario Vampire.
Oh, a 9?
Well, then you see nipples in it.
Do you actually?
Oh, Rosario, I saw nipples.
Rosario Vampire, see nipples?
You see nipples, baby.
Oh, bro, I gotta get back on this vampire bullshit.
Fucking Skune up in that bathhouse.
I'm Googling Rosario Vampire nipple right now. Ooh, safe search is off. Oh my God, you do see them.
I remember a ton about Rosario Vampire for no reason.
That's wild. Oh, wow. You see a lot of nipples in this.
It's like the blue-haired girl. I don't remember her deal. I don't remember her name.
She had wings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay, yeah, that's a great 9. A great 9.
Thanks.
Number 10, Interspecies Reviewers.
Yeah.
And that's Danny's spectrum of how horny anime is.
Let's go.
Feel free to yell at him over that.
Yeah.
Why did we get onto this topic?
We don't have a lot to talk about.
We really don't. I guess we're done with Kaiju number 8.
Yeah, it was fine. It was good.
Can I do a quick side on Slime Isekai?
Sure. We also got to talk about Windbreaker.
This was the worst episode of anime ever watched in my entire. I am of the opinion that like most movies are good. Like most movies, if there's a movie on Netflix or Hulu, if you sit down and you watch it, there's an 87% chance that I enjoy it. Like I turn off maybe one in every 15 movies. Like if I'm sitting down, it's an hour and a half movie, I'm going to love it.
Yeah.
Slimy Sekai, episode 2, season 3, was the worst episode of anime I've ever watched in my entire life. And I'm like, oh, I'm dropping Slimy Sekai. It was just like, it's a huge political world we're building. We're in the fallout of a war. We're in the fallout of all these demon lords meeting and like voting a new demon lord council and all of that. Like a ton happened in season 2. And we're now just kind of dealing with like the political ramifications of all that happened in season 2, which was action packed. This episode was 22 fucking minutes of like a political war room talk. Uh-huh. It was literally just fake people talking about fake politics and a fake world and all of them being like, oh, I gave them 3 options so they'd have to abdicate the throne and pay us reparations. And then the king was like, I'm going to abdicate the throne and pay reparations. And everyone's like, oh, that's too much money. And they're like, you haven't met the storm dragon. They're like, if you met the storm dragon, you'd know we need to pay these 100 stellar gold. Yeah, I literally, like, I was watching because I loved the story, and I was just, like, 12 minutes in, I was just, like, eyes glazed over. I felt like a fucking iPad kid who was getting forced to, like, pay attention in chemistry class. Yeah. It was awful.
Interesting.
It's terrible.
I can't believe you're hitting me with the, like, it's fake people talking about a fake blah, blah, blah. It sounds like Attack on Titan.
Kind of.
Just a whole episode of people just politicking.
When have I ever come out and been like, oh yeah, season 2 of Attack on Titan, you're gonna fucking love it. Yeah, it's so. Like, oh, we're gonna get into that basement and you're gonna hear Hanji talk about it for 12 straight fucking minutes.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, the best parts of Attack on Titan, mostly season 1, a little bit of season 4, it's when the Titans start kicking each other in the jaw. Yeah. And then when everybody's talking about how much they want to dissect, fuck, or control Titans, I'm like, oh my god.
Shut up.
Shut the fuck up. I want to see Titans punch each other.
I feel you.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Now we can talk about Windbreaker.
Yeah, what'd you think?
Awesome.
You're insane.
So
nothing happened.
It doesn't need to.
What do you mean?
Okay, Danny, it's a setup. He's going to the school.
Uh-huh.
All right, and the character design was so sick.
Of who?
I loved the blonde friend who stumbled into the cafe and was like, ah, scoobity whoop. And everyone was like, you're still wearing your tags. And his design was awesome. I loved like his necklace and his blonde hair. I love that he was like trying to befriend everybody. He was like writing down things he likes about people in a book. He gets into a classic mix him up with 5 people trying to protect people. Sakura Hakura comes in out of nowhere, puts the beat down on 5 dudes.
Yeah, classic he dive kicks a dude over his new friend.
Which is all great. The second dive kick he does in 2 episodes.
Yeah,
which is kicking. A high ratio of dive kick to episode. All right?
Can you imagine? Because in that scene, I don't know if you remember, but it's the blonde-haired kid talking to a bunch of people, and those people are facing the way that Sakura Hakura is going to come from, right? But like the way it's edited, it looks like Sakura, like, comes out of nowhere, just
flash
appears.
Steps.
Yeah, just flash steps out of nowhere. Can you imagine just like roughing up a kid in an alley and you see someone approaching your way and you're like, he's gonna walk behind us. Yeah. Like, or he's gonna go around us. Let's keep messing around. And then he just gets in the air and dive kicks the dude next to you.
I'd leave immediately.
Yeah.
If somebody clears 9 feet in the air and then somehow like just says no to physics to go in on a 45-degree line to my friend's face, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm good. The way I would walk away from a fight, I mean, I wouldn't be there picking on a fucking 14-year-old. You know, unless they said some dumb shit, but like, listen, you think I won't smoke a 14-year-old if they say some dumb shit? But this episode was so much fun. This OP is so good.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Like, all right, you openly very much loved the Go-Go Loser Ranger intro and outro.
Yeah, it's lacked.
They're both very good.
Yeah.
This made me look up the entire band that did it, and I've only been listening to him for like 3 days straight.
Wow.
Yeah, Notori, he's awesome.
I don't even remember it.
It's...
I don't even remember what it sounds like.
I'll show you after. It's all... Everything is copywritten everywhere. And then they get to the school.
Yeah.
And the guy walks up with like a long tassel earring. He's got like a eye patch. He's like, oh, I lost. He's like, there's a Chinese spirit sealed in my eye. There's a guy with an orange afro in the corner doing pull-ups. There's
You know he was lying, right?
I know.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I'm aware. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And then there's like another one, like the angry dude who walks in with like, he's just Baji from Tokyo Avengers. But he like walks in, he's all pissed off and everything. And I'm like, the character design of everybody. And then there's a guy with the earrings and the earbuds in the back.
Yeah, the pink-haired dude.
Yes.
fucks.
Yeah.
That's a good design.
They all have fantastic character designs, and I love how everybody looks, and like their personalities match, and like it's this clash of like, oh, he wants to reach his top spot, but like, does Beaufriend want him there? He's already like loved by everybody. He's lauded once he enters like the classroom. I loved it. I think it's setting up for a really fun story, and I don't get how you don't enjoy it.
I think it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. I hate this anime.
It's so baffling to me that you loved Go Go Loser Ranger too.
Why?
I enjoy
things
it as well.
Happened in it.
I enjoy it as well. Like, yes, it's action-packed from like the first two episodes are action-packed. Yeah. It literally opens with monsters invading Earth and battling. There's a battle 4 minutes in.
Yeah.
It's just so weird to me that you don't like the story about fighting.
It's because it's so silly that he's going to fight school fight. And also, and it's like, they're all just like, he gets in the class and it's all these kids just fucking like, what's up, newbie? And he's like, I'm here to kick ass. And some dude walks in, throws a desk, and is just like, who's getting a beating? And it's like, where is the teacher?
It's literally...
Where is the adult? There's fucking graffiti all
everywhere.
On every wall. Yeah. And it's like... Fucking sink this school into the ground.
I can treat this like the Tropicana in Vegas and just level it.
Yeah, when are they going to fucking set off the C4 charges that are most definitely in the
floorboards? Oh, they're already, the holes are drilled. They're pressed in there. It's just waiting for like the last teacher to quit. And they're like, all right.
Just Sakura Hakura is so boring. He's so nothing because he's trying to be Sasuke and Naruto at the same time.
Fair.
Where he's like... Nobody likes me.
I got the two colors here.
Yeah, he's got this Naruto side where he's like, nobody likes me. I'm a social outcast and I'm shy and embarrassed. Mm-hmm. But then he's got the Sasuke side where he's like, I'm hot and sick as fuck. Mm-hmm. And you can't have both.
You really can't.
Because then it's like, oh, like if Naruto was hot and a great fighter right out
eventually.
The gate.
Yeah.
He'd be so much less interesting. Naruto's so cool. Because he genuinely sucks at being a person and being a ninja.
Yeah.
And so seeing him get better is the show. Sakura Hakura is like, no one likes me for no reason. And I transferred to this school to fight, which is the silliest premise I've heard in a modern day realistic anime.
I mean...
On top of that, it's fine that it's silly. It's fine that it's like that because I'm like... Fine with like over the top, like John Wick. I love John Wick 4, where it's just three assassins being assassins.
Yeah,
I don't need like crazy motivation, but they don't go over the top enough with it. Like if he was like, I'm going to fight school to be the best fighter, and then like episode one, it's just like the sickest thing you've ever seen in your life. Mm. Then I'd be into it.
Going to blank to be the best blank is a very common anime trope.
Yeah, it's
the irregular at magic school. It's assassination classroom. It's the irregular at magic school.
But they usually have like a reason. Like Naruto wants to be Hokage because nobody will listen or like him. And if you're a Hokage, everyone has to listen to and like you. This guy wants to be the best fighter.
So he can be the leader of like, so nobody can look down on him anymore. Like he's like, I'm going to a place that like where outcasts like me are accepted and I'm going to become their king. Essentially. He wants to be the king of the outcasts so that people can't look down on him anymore. I explained this to you last week.
I guess it's just boring. It's not doing anything interesting or new.
It's a fighting anime. They never do anything interesting or new,
but the fights aren't good.
They absolutely are.
There was like no fight in this one.
Yeah. Cause he was walking to school.
Yeah, so nothing happened.
He also
50% of the show, nothing has happened.
There was a fight. There was fully a fight. He mopped up those five kids.
He does a drop kick, and then the fight happens off screen.
That's fair. It does.
Zero fight.
There's about to be a fight next episode.
But then we'll see.
Well, he's gonna have to fight against the Baji kid.
Yeah, hopefully it's cool.
Probably.
Hopefully.
You haven't seen Kengan Ashura, Baki?
No, I was thinking about starting one of those though.
Okay.
Have you seen Hajime no Ippo?
Yes.
My friend started that. He said it's really good.
Tootsie Roll, baby.
I guess.
A little tootsie. They hit a little slide. You know the best boxing anime? Incredibly underrated boxing anime? Not Megalobox. We do this every single time. The one with the steampunk one.
Levius,
dude. That shit went so hard. That was a Netflix anime.
Yeah.
But they did very well. Netflix, actually, the only good anime that they do is fighting anime.
Yeah.
That's like their number one thing.
And Beastars.
Sure.
Thanks. Love Delicious in Dungeon. That's Netflix.
Oh, fuck, you're right. But that was Trigger. Like, they just, like, got the rights to a Trigger anime.
Netflix...
Do they do that?
No one working at Netflix animates.
You don't think
you
so?
Know? No.
No?
100%
not like Seven Deadly Sins or anything? No, I guess you're right, yeah.
No one at Netflix, like, shoots film. Mm-hmm. Like, they just, like, pay people to do it.
To get, like, the licensing rights to things.
Yeah, and same with...
Dungeon Meshi was very good.
Dungeon Meshi, and then what was that other one? Fuck, I just had one.
With how much vitriol you got for your Dungeon Meshi take, are you going to watch it now?
No.
A lot of people were like, you would very much enjoy it.
I don't think I would. It's just like a slice of life cooking one, right?
I mean, there's a fair amount of action. They kill a dragon. They have to battle against a water sprite. A kelpie tries to kill them. There's a dwarf that they like. The only thirst trap, the only horny part about Dungeon Meshi is that there's a skimpily dressed dwarf man who gets sudsed up one episode, and they make him real nice and clean. And this man can cook. He, like, I don't know, like, this might expose me for, like, not knowing what the female gaze is, but, like, I feel like he is the furthest fringes of the female gaze, because he just, like, carries a pan around. He's super awesome. He's like, I'm gonna do everything the difficult way. He's like, I don't want a fire made from magic. I'm gonna start it my own way. And then he just provides. And it is, he's just fucking around, and he provides, and he's just, like, kind of like a slutty little bitch, and he's, like, fucking that guy. His name is Senchi. He's awesome. He's literally, there's like two like female characters in the show. Never once like thirst trapped in any way. And it's just like Senchi. He's just like this little slutty whore.
Maybe I'll check it out.
It's fucking great, man. It's really good. I mean, it's the best explanation I saw of it is it's a story about an autistic guy like hyper-focusing on something in a dungeon.
I low-key love autistic characters in anime.
Yeah.
Love Rompo, love L. They're just so satisfying.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll check it out.
The main character is literally just like an autistic dude whose hyperfixation is monster food.
I love a hyperfixation.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll check it out.
It's fun.
Is it episodic though? Like,
no.
Is it a story?
It's a story.
Okay.
It's like them trying to get to the lowest.
Can't do.
It's like they got to they went to the bottom of this dungeon and battled against a red dragon. The red dragon eats the main character's sister. And then the entire rest of the arc, like the entire rest of the story is them trying to get back down to that low level to get to to his sister before she's fully digested by the dragon.
Gotcha. Yeah, I can't do ones that are like a new thing every episode. Like it resets and is like infinite.
I thought you've seen Psyche K.
No.
You haven't seen Psyche K?
No, I don't think I'd like it.
You wouldn't. You'd hate it.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah.
You fucking despise it.
Why are you co-opting my insult?
Because I love it. It's my thing now. Listen, well, I'm taking the word back, baby.
Yeah,
absolutely. So. So you hate everything that's fun. You hate Windbreaker. Yeah. And I said, these boys gonna kiss. That was my... Also big note, Sakura's Inosuke.
Voice actor-wise?
Yep.
Oh, crazy. I didn't recognize.
Did you when he gets riled up, it's like a different voice direction. Cause every time Inosuke talks, he's when he gets riled up, you can hear the Inosuke.
Interesting.
It's really funny.
I didn't notice.
Cause he was screaming at the blonde haired one about something. And I was like, oh my God, that's fully Japanese VA Inosuke.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever recognized a Japanese voice actor doing a different thing.
What? How?
I don't know.
There's so many iconic Nanami's voice actor.
I wouldn't recognize it.
Nanami's voice actor? He's literally just...
Yeah, it's just deep.
So deep.
Yeah.
He's the voice actor
but
from...
But so is Sukuna. You know?
Fair. But Sukuna, I think Sukuna's also voice actor.
Watch him be the same man.
No, that would be hilarious. a Chris Sabat just doing everybody in... everybody in Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Sukuna, Japanese voice actor, is Junichi Suwabe, who does... Oh, God. I don't recognize any of these.
I do love Sakura Hakura. That'd be like him being named Sukuna Bukuna.
That guy looks Hiroshi. He looks like he's from... Oh, he does Grimmjow from Bleach.
Can I just say Grimmjow? Grimmjow is the single coolest name in all of anime.
He's Greed.
Cool. I didn't watch... I don't watch a lot of anime in sub, actually.
Recently. Do you really not? Oh, I guess
because
you're
reacting to
things. Yeah. He does a lot. He did a lot of stuff way back in the day.
Well, Sukuna's Greed. That's
that kind of makes sense.
That goes real hard.
He's Archer, but in the original Fates Day Night.
Well, Greed in the English dub is so what's up, pussy?
Yeah, he's kind of scraggly.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Japanese, the English voice actor for, I don't love the English voice actor for Sukuna, but I think he's getting better at his role.
You know that iconic greed line where he's like,
What's up, pussy?
I'm your Chinese friend now.
Yeah, and everyone's like, what the fuck? He's like, let me in your body. I'm going to make you hard. And it's like, what? What do you mean? What? Leave me alone.
Yeah, he's like, Ling, close your eyes so people know when it's you.
Yeah.
I'll open them when it's me. That's canon. Ling canonically closes his eyes.
Yeah, you just like, finally, I've been cured of my Brock syndrome. All right, you want to do flashbacks here?
Yeah.
My flashback is us. Oh, wait, no.
Oh, I have real news. I have good real news.
Wait. No, wait. Hold up.
Are you thinking of Best Boy?
I'm thinking of Best Boy.
Stop making it me or us. You've done that like 3 weeks in a row.
There's a reason for it this time.
All right.
Daniel?
Gone.
My best boy for this week is
no,
us.
No, what's your news?
Your news first. Us. my news for this week, my flashback is Dave Bautista. Has been selected as a voice actor for one of the villains in the Avatar movie coming up.
Yeah.
Which is wild.
A decision.
Kind of. I guess it kind of makes sense. What if it's going to be like the third explosion guy? Because I could see Dave Bautista playing like the third explosion bender.
It's like everything's animated, but he's walking around in live action.
Yeah, like he would be so good for that role. It's like the SpongeBob where it's like just like a gorilla walking around. Yeah. Just him with it, the worst eyeball you've ever seen painted on his forehead.
I'd love a character in Avatar. This is a genuine pitch right now, actually. Let me know how you would think about this. Okay. I'd love a character in Avatar who's so ripped and so intimidating and so genuinely good at fighting hand to hand that it takes he's the main villain of the whole season or arc or whatever, and he's just crushing it. He's a great hand-to-hand fighter, and he's so good at hand-to-hand that it isn't until the end of the season that he whips out some bending.
Yeah.
And they're like, you're a bender? And he's like, I've never needed to do this.
You are literally explaining
It's kind of Amon.
What?
From Korra.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say you're explaining Kenpachi Zaraki. Kenpachi Zaraki is literally he's the Bleach guy. He's like the captain of 13 or 11. And he literally just never uses his Shikai, never uses his Bankai, literally wears an eye patch that eats his not cursed energy, whatever it is. And I forget what it is.
His reishi
or something like that. And he's like, every time he actually uses something, he's like, you're the first person to ever actually make me have to use this. And that's fucking dope every time. Dude's been nerfing himself.
That'd be if mid fighting what's the bone guy in Naruto?
Kimimaro.
That'd be if mid fighting Kimimaro, Kimimaro's about to stab Rock Lee in the neck, and Rock Lee's
fire
just
comes out of his
Rock Lee's just like, fireball jutsu. Kara's what the fuck?
He's like, I was just trying to prove a point. I've known how to do it. I just wanted to prove everyone wrong.
Just like Chidori.
That would be that'd be so good. Yeah. It's like him battling against Gaara, and Gaara keeps stopping, finally lands kick on Gaara, and he's like, well, proved it. And he's like, Rasengan!
He breaks his leg, and he's Chidori! You fuck!
Yeah, planetary devastation! Do I give the Rinnegan?
Just opens his eyes, he's just like, Tsukuyomi!
Yeah, this is why I have bangs! Yeah, third fucking eye, that'd be sick as hell. Do you have a flashback this week?
Yeah. My flashback is that Dan Harmon. Do you know Dan Harmon?
The guy who's in jail.
No.
The guy for beating his wife.
No, that's Justin Roiland.
Oh, same guy.
Yeah. Dan Harmon is the other creator and writer of Rick and Morty.
Gotcha.
He is going to write the live action One Punch Man movie.
There's a live action One Punch Man movie?
Yep. I mean, not yet, obviously.
That should have been the flashback.
What do you think this is right now? This is my flashback.
A live action One Punch Man movie?
What do you mean this should be the flashback?
When was this announced?
Bitch, what segment is this?
All right, you buried the lead. You're like, Dan Harmon.
Yeah.
He's writing.
It's breaking news.
The One Punch Man. I didn't even know this was happening. That's wild.
Let me make sure, actually.
No, you're absolutely right. I'm reading right now on Kotaku. Live-action One Punch Man movie recruits Rick and Morty co-creator. Dan Harmon will work alongside Heather Ann Campbell on the Sony Pictures project.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
Sony Pictures and Dan Harmon are making a live action One Punch Man.
Mm-hmm.
Who? Okay. This is a conversation we have every time a live action comes out. But genuinely, who is this one for?
Like,
okay, no. Because here's my thing, right? One Punch Man.
For all the fucking college stoners who got real into One Punch Man the second the first season came out.
Yeah, okay, but One Punch Man has been in like season intermission hell for like 5 years now. Mm. Not like maybe not that long, like 3 or 4 years. Yeah. Season two came out, and then like a bunch of studios were like, "Oh, we'll take it." It's really hard to adapt the beauty of that manga into like an anime like style. So like MAPPA's now picking it back up, and I don't think we're getting it until like 2025 or something like that.
Mm.
But One Punch Man is not that big.
One Punch Man is so big.
It's
in America, especially. It's huge in America.
Is this who?
I mean, it just hasn't. Season one was gigantic.
Was it?
Yeah, it just hasn't had a new anything in like years.
When season one came out, I watched it, but like I'm not like I have to like separate myself from like the standard. Like I have to separate myself from like, oh, just because I'm watching it doesn't mean it's huge.
But if there's like merch in like Hot Topic, and if you like. I know One Punch Man and Attack on Titan are the two anime that I could ask like a random person if they've seen mm-hmm. and have a pretty high chance of getting a yes.
I guess, yeah.
Out of like modern anime, like if I asked someone,
but they're so different. That's the weird part.
But if I asked like a random ass person, like, hey, have you seen Jujutsu Kaisen? I'd probably get a no.
So you think One Punch Man is more popular than JJK?
I think among normies.
Among normies?
I think it probably is. The reason JJK is so big right now and One Punch Man isn't is because One Punch Man hasn't had a fucking...
recency bias.
Yeah, thing since 2017.
But here's my thing is, so whenever we see this kind of thing where a show takes a huge amount of time off and then they get another season, mm-hmm. usually that leads to a massive fall off. Black Butler is currently dealing with it right now. Black Butler is like releasing their public school saga and everyone's like, this makes no sense. And this show was kind of on the fringe of being likable and acceptable 10 years ago.
Are you saying this is just because Stella offhandedly was like episode one of Black Butler season four? Like what quote your sources?
Well, yes, there was the conversation I had with Stella today, yeah. But also like, I'm saying like more, it was like Devil's Part-Timer, Black Butler, like even Blue Exorcist, like a huge IP that came back after a long time, came back to a middling result. And like, what's to be adapted in One Punch Man, especially in season three, is going to be incredible. It's going to be the ending of the, oh God, what's his name? The guy who trained under Bang and now is literally the main bad guy. I made so much One Punch Man content. Now I do not remember it. Anyways, there's like the whole monster saga arc. There's like a monster invasion arc where like all of the heroes go and invade like this huge monster, like hideout area. And it's like the top 10 heroes all in important battles. And Saitama's like kind of sidelined by the entire thing, stumbling upon what later becomes the overarching theme of the manga that we're now actually just getting into. But, like, it's just been so long that since it came out and since seasons two, like, wasn't that good animation-wise. And everyone was like, oh, like, this doesn't Garo. Everyone was like, oh, like, this doesn't live up to the hype that I expected it to, like, fill out to because the manga is so gorgeous. It's like, if you put out a middling result and then take 4 years off, I feel like less people are going to come back to it. So then looking at that IP and being like, that's what needs a live action adaptation is kind of crazy to me.
Dude, that movie's going to do so well.
Do you think so?
All it needs to be is expensive. That is such an easy movie to make. That is an outrageous, because it's all fucking stoner college dudes.
That are going to be doubly brought in by the fact that Dan Harmon is writing it.
Dan Harmon's writing it, yeah. So it'll probably be well-written.
It'll probably be rated R as well.
Hopefully, yeah, that'd be hype. I mean,
it's very gory, like, manga and anime.
Yeah, it was all, like, people who, like, grew up with Naruto, but, like, hardly watch anime nowadays.
Yeah.
Then One Punch Man came on Netflix, tons and tons of normies watched it,
yes.
Were super into it. Sarah's best friend, Sarah, loves One Punch
Sarah's
Man.
Sarah's best friend is named Sarah?
Yeah, with an H.
Oh. Love that for
ho.
Caught her ass. Newly single.
But was it called? She loves it. Like, again, I think like you could throw a rock into a crowd and have a high chance that rock hits a One Punch Man fan. Like,
fuck! Do you like One Punch Man? I do. I just forgot most of it. He's like, just heads hemorrhaging.
Like, I think people will be so hyped because it's just all they care about is that it's funny and that it explodes.
I guess.
If you just give it money, also, like, if you just give it money, the Fast and the Furious fans, like, it will consume the Fast and the Furious.
Also, every character outside of Saitama is, like, infinitely interesting.
Yeah.
Like, but, like, I find, like, are, you think they're going to adapt the story, or it's just going to be, like, a loose adaptation, like, a loose, like, interpretation of a character who can destroy everything in one punch being surrounded
by... They'll probably adapt the story. The thing is, you can cut out 80% of the story, in my opinion.
What do you mean?
It's just the same thing every episode. You know I don't like One Punch Man. If you cut out... It'll probably just be season one. I don't know if they'll get to Boros, though.
No, here's my thing. You're not wrong.
Boros seems like a lot to do by the end of one movie. I think they... I don't know how they end it. I don't think they get to Boros.
No, Boros.
I don't know. You can't.
You could. No, you're
in
absolutely...
In 2 hours, you set up Saitama and then get to Boros?
Yeah, I'd say so. Okay, you have to remember what happens between Saitama and Boros. It's the forced evolution project with, like, a Super Koba Carnage or whatever his name was. There's, like, the introduction of Genos and, like, his doctor. Mm. There's, like, him taking the hero exam and then, like, breaking all the machines and then him still getting, like, a C ranking.
And then, like, 6 episodes of the same thing happening over and over
again.
Yeah,
like, there's, like, the giant
the
in the beginning.
Fish.
There's the big, oh, yeah, like, the guy, the Justice Crash, Moomin Rider attacks, the King of the Ocean.
Yeah.
You can skip all that.
That's what I'm saying.
I was going to be offended, but then I was like, no, legitimately, if you were just trying to adapt, One Punch Man would be a very easy story to adapt into a movie format. This is my thing with a Naruto movie, where I'm like, you can't skip anything.
Yeah.
Look, you can't skip the Land of Waves arc. You can't skip the Chunin exams, the Konoha Crush arc, or the Sasuke Retrieval arc. And that's like 200, it's like 140 episodes of content you have to adapt. That's well-paced, mind you. One Punch Man, you could definitely skip things. Because, like, there's no, all right, and this is kind of Saitama's entire point. There's not a whole lot of character development for Saitama.
Yeah.
It's like you need to establish the fact that Genos is, like, getting broken a lot and trying to overcome, like, his weakness as he sees it. He's trying to get revenge against Metal Knight, or, like, maybe, like, I don't even know if it's Metal Knight. It's like a cyborg that may not be Metal Knight. And then, like, he's trying to get stronger. He wants to be Saitama's student. And then, yeah, you can basically skip straight to Boros. Mm-hmm. You know what it would probably end up looking like, actually? Superman, Man of Steel. You know the one where General Zod comes in, there's like a big building, smashy fight.
Oh, yeah,
between
I love
Zod.
Man of Steel.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah. It was like way overhated for when it came out. That is basically, I feel like, the format for what this would look like. Like, introduce Saitama, introduce his backstory, have him fight the crab monster, pull out its guts from its eyeballs, and then be like, oh, he's bald, hero exam, Genos, Boros. Cool.
You can skip
the super mutation people.
Yeah.
I mean, they pop back up in the story, like, occasionally, but I don't think we're going to be doing, like, 3 One Punch Man movies.
Yeah, this is the easiest movie anyone's ever
made. I'm completely coming around on it right now. Like, it is it's a layup.
Yeah.
I just don't know, like, anytime there's a live-action movie, I'm like, will this make money?
Yeah, it should. It's like... It's crazy it's taking
about
them.
How much CGI it needs, though.
Yeah.
I mean, not more than, like, an average Marvel movie, but, like, still, it doesn't have the pull of a Marvel movie.
I mean, One Punch Man absolutely does.
The pull of a Marvel movie? I guess nowadays, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
What was the last Marvel movie that came out?
Guardians of the Galaxy 3?
No.
Yeah.
By no means.
By no means, relax.
Didn't fucking some Marvel, Marvels? The Marvels.
Was it that one?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then before that was, like...
Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
I don't even think that's true. I think there was one between. I think there was one between it.
What is this trap?
I think there was one between. I think it was Eternals. There was another one no one gave a shit about.
And then Eternals was fucking like.
No, not Eternals.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I mean Marvels. I'm sorry. Also, one that no one gave a shit about.
Yeah.
Fuck. They're not good at their jobs.
Dude, One Punch Man will make so much money. It will make so much Fast and the Furious money.
I know. Listen, I'll see it twice. I am Fast and Furious money. I love it. It's gonna be fun.
Even just having Dan Harmon's name attached to it
is
huge.
About it?
About what?
One Punch Man.
Everything we've explained. The animation's good. The fights are good. Yep. But I don't give a shit about any of it. I don't give a shit about any of the characters because the gimmick is so annoying. It's just, oh, this big fish is gonna be annoying for 20 minutes. Saitama, come on, where are you at? And he's doing something dumb. And then he shows up and then he hits it with one punch. It's the most, I get it, the show.
Explain to me the premise of every other shonen anime of all time.
But they struggle. He doesn't have to struggle.
That's the joke.
It's...
Hey, Danny.
Hey, Danny.
That's the joke.
Okay.
It's an examination of shonen as a genre.
Let me ask you something.
Perpetuated by the fact that all the other characters outside of Saitama are interesting and have character development arcs.
If I told you a joke, and then you were like, haha, that's really funny. Mm-hmm. Good job, Dan.
Yeah.
And then I told you that joke for 22 minutes, and then I did that 12 times. You'd get pretty bored of that joke.
See, all right, that metaphor doesn't make any sense, Danny. All right, no. What it is, let's say the entirety of the comedy scene revolved around knock knock jokes, right? Every single guy was just crushing knock knock jokes. And everyone's like, oh, yeah. I wonder who's behind that door. And it's just like stand-up comedians are like, knock knock, gay haircut, and everyone's like, oh, yeah. You flamed his ass.
Yeah.
And then one guy gets up and he's like, why the fuck is everything a knock knock joke? But like perpetuates it, but makes it a joke about everything being a knock-knock joke through a actually well-thought-out and complex knock-knock joke.
But he's just saying the same knock-knock joke over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think a power tournament is, Daniel?
But it's different. It's interesting to see, like, the different powers and see, like, the best power tournaments are when you don't know who's gonna win.
That's why
I find Dragon Ball boring.
Outside of Perfect Cell, who defeats every single bad guy in Dragon Ball Z?
I just said I find Dragon Ball boring.
Oh, wait. Okay. Gotcha.
Well, also, not Goku.
Who defeats Boo?
I guess Goku beats Boo.
Mm-hmm. Who defeats Frieza?
The planet.
Yeah. Okay. Who defeats, I guess, the androids? The androids kind of cannibalize themselves.
Yeah. Cell beats the androids. And then Vegeta is a result of all of his friends. Because Vegeta beats Goku, essentially.
What do you mean?
Goku
in Majin form?
No, in like when he first shows up.
I mean, that's mostly the guy who cuts his tail off, actually.
Yajirobe, yeah, pretty
Yajirobe.
Much.
Shout out Yajirobe.
That's why
Sensu Bean homie.
That's why Goku versus Vegeta is such a good arc, because Goku's not there most of it, and Nappa's just fucking sweeping.
Yeah.
Nappa obliterates all of them. Vegeta kills Nappa. Because I think Tien, like, rocks him.
Yeah.
One of them rocks him. And then Vegeta starts sweeping up again.
What would happen if Nappa got Super Saiyan?
Like, hair-wise?
Yeah.
Like, yellow beard, probably.
You think so?
Maybe gross hair.
I feel like we were robbed of that, low-key. Yeah,
I know. Everyone feels that way about every Saiyan, including Raditz.
Yeah.
Like, I'd love to see a gold hair Raditz with how much fucking hair he's got. But, like, and then Goku shows up, and then Vegeta, like, kind of fucking rocks him.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't until Yajirobe cuts his tail off, you got the fucking Destructo Discs rocking him, mm-hmm. you got the little spirit bomb that Krillin has to throw. Like, Goku gets absolutely slaughtered by Vegeta,
mm-hmm.
and it's a team effort, and that's why it's interesting. It's not just, oh my god, it's the exact reason One Punch Man sucks. It'd be as if Goku showed up and then swept Vegeta, but he doesn't. He gets rocked, and then the stragglers have to help defeat Vegeta.
No, yes. That's fair. I'm trying to think of One Punch Man. Saitama doesn't win every battle. And the reason you feel like this is because what's been adapted in the One Punch Man anime up until this point is all of Saitama coming in and like defeating the King of the Sea, defeating Super Kabuto Carnage or whatever, defeating Boros, all these kinds of things. But like a big part of Boros's defeat is Tornado, like Miss Tornado, like lifting up like the entire ship and like throwing a bunch of rocks at it. And then when you get into like the monster invasion arc, it's all of the top heroes fighting against like high level dragon class monsters in one-on-ones, akin to the Sasuke Retrieval arc, akin to Konoha Crush, like all of the important characters getting their own battles. And Saitama's kind of just fucking off the entire time. Like,
yeah,
he's
but
like,
why?
Because that's built in character. It's kind of like what they did with Gojo. They're like sealing him in the Shibuya arc. It's like, if Gojo's around, you can never move the plot forward right. because Gojo can fix any problem immediately.
Yeah.
So in order to move the plot forward and develop these characters like Genos and Tornado and Blizzard, you need to put away the OP like plot device right. you created.
Yeah.
So it's like Saitama being a literal gag means that you can put him in a gag-like scenario where like, oh, we're invading monsters, but Saitama's trying to find a deal on bean sprouts right now. And like not until what we're going to get in season three do you see that aspect of One Punch Man adapted.
Yeah, that's just like annoying to me. That's boring. I also don't care about any of the other characters except Genos, but just because he looks cool.
Yeah, he's the main character of the story.
It's just all annoying.
I mean, listen, if it's not for you, not for you.
I just hate the premise.
Can I do my flashback?
Yeah, you did it.
Can I do my best boy?
Yeah.
It's us.
Cool, I don't care.
It's our 50K. Today's our 50K special.
Woo!
We hit 50K on YouTube, which means me and Danny are celebrating with a limited time merch release. We released in Otakuholics. Well, we're going to release when this episode comes out. There is going to be an advantage for all of our members. All of our members are going to get 10% off merch for our 50K special. So if you're a member on Patreon or on YouTube, like a YouTube member, you get 10% off our merch for our 50K special. I think that might be something we implement forever. It's probably a good thing to give to all the people nice enough to, you know, give us $5 a month. But we're releasing a 50K special t-shirt with a Otakuholics across the front of it. And it's going to be a limited release. So it's probably only going to be around for a week. Or we're going to cap it out like the first 100 t-shirts sold, something like that. But it is going to be a very limited release of these shirts. So if you guys want to capitalize on the 50K event, pop on over to our merch store, otakusanonymous.net, where you can get the Otakuholics shirt. And, you know, if you're wearing it, when you see me and Danny, we'll be like, oh, this is one of our special ones. And then we'll kiss you right on your mouth.
Nick will kiss you. I've been trying to stop that.
Christ. In there. You and me. In there.
Ugh.
As long as you buy the t-shirt.
Is that why the mic looks that way?
The mic looks like that way because I've had this mic for 2 years and yeah, I get real up on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, boy, do you.
There was also an entire period in my content career when I was filming like 10 YouTube videos a week and I was like also streaming.
Yeah.
And so I had to constantly have a throat lozenge while recording. Ugh. And so my old, and this is lovely. It's a lovely piece of information to tell everybody. My old mouse and keyboards, eventually the keys wouldn't close anymore. Like I couldn't press the keys in because I had so much lozenge in my mouth and I was spitting everywhere while talking. So I just covered my keyboards in just lozenge spit.
Oh.
Yeah. So now I have a mechanical keyboard, but I also don't use lozenges anymore. So I don't need to worry about it.
Anyway.
You're welcome.
My best boy.
Uh-huh.
It's the Fallout show.
Oh, God damn it.
It's really good.
It is good.
Yeah.
It's very great. Good.
It's incredible.
I would like to say something slightly controversial.
What?
Lucy?
Yeah.
Very hot.
Is that controversial?
Very. Listen, yeah. She's she's just fine with me.
She's, yeah.
She's She's pretty nice.
Yeah.
Pretty nice.
Pretty nice.
I also love a golden retriever woman, and that is exactly what she is. And yes, it is very good.
She's hot.
It's also in Santa Monica. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so close.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh wow, the Ferris wheel is still around. Like 400 years later, it's very impressive.
I know, the nukes couldn't take
the
down.
Yeah, it was like the one thing, it's like the Tory in Japan. I'm like, how was the one thing that survived the Santa Monica Ferris wheel?
I know.
Have you ever been on that pier? A stiff breeze feels like it could take that entire thing out.
Do you know that Lucy voices Jinx in Arcane?
I did not.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
What? The okie dokie. That's wild to think that is Jinx.
Yeah.
That's crazy. It is very good. They did a really good job with it. I'm only in episode... we just finished episode 2. Me and Dorothy are watching it together. She's just been crushing it nerd-wise recently.
Yeah, Dorothy.
I just been putting shit on.
Yeah.
Because we're always watching shit. And I've just realized, like, I'm always looking for, like, some bad action movie to throw on. I'm like, I'm just going to throw the shit I want to watch on. And then she's trapped with me because she loves spending time with me. And I'm, like, watching something. And then she gets, like, Stockholm Syndrome into it. And I was like, cool, we're watching the Fallout show now.
Nice.
That's how I got her into Link Click. I just put it on one day, put it in Chinese, and she was just like... I was like putting Coco Melon on for a baby. She was like, I know what they're saying. I was like, fucking right. Yeah, you do. Wow. I have to read the subtitles, but I'm happy you're enjoying it.
I got to try that.
Yeah, just put, I mean, English. Your Sarah speaks English.
But Fallout show, well, you were talking before about like One Punch Man. You're like, man, it's got to be so expensive. Like, they'll never do that. We are now officially in an age where like if you tell me they're making a blank movie or show, I simply can't be like, oh, that's too expensive.
Yeah.
Oh, that can't look good. Mm-hmm. They won't do that. Some are better looking than others. Like, I think the Avatar live action show looks whack sometimes.
Yeah.
But like One Piece looked pretty good. This is maybe the best looking show I've ever seen
it
in my life.
Certainly the best looking anime, like not an anime, like any, is it the best looking IP adaptation I've ever seen outside of The Last of Us, which is just a zombie movie.
People, yeah.
And we literally have the format for that so down packed that it's obviously going to look good.
This looks spectacular.
The super armor looks perfect.
Yeah.
Objectively perfect. And it functions well. It's kind of, I don't know if you ever saw, what was the DC TV show with Brandon?
Frasier?
Yeah, Brandon Frasier.
Not Suicide Squad. Not Suicide Squad.
Yeah, it's
Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol. There was this kind of thing with that one where Brandon Fraser's character that he voices is this huge, like, robotic-esque man, and he moves very robotically, and it looks awkward. The super armor, like, functions in a way, and I'm like, that looks correct, fun, functional, and like conveys the power of the suit.
Yeah, because it's just a suit.
Yeah.
Like, they built so much shit.
They built
for this.
So many suits.
It's crazy. Like, all the sets are real. It looks great. Did you get to the shootout scene with the ghoul? I think that's episode 2.
Yeah.
Where he just rolls up and just blasts
and he's
people
just like,
with bomb-shaped bullets.
Dorothy was like, why does he have such bigger bullets than everybody else? And I was like, I wish I could tell you.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. That's why.
And the guy who plays that role is literally born for that role because he was also...
Walter Goggins.
Yeah, he had that TV show a decade ago where he was like just a cowboy who murdered people. it was like a massive...
Was
like
it
middle-aged
Deadwood?
White.
Is he in Deadwood?
No, it was like middle-aged white women. It was like, basically it was like Sons of Anarchy, but he was like a cowboy and he, not Undisputed.
Yellowstone?
No.
I don't know. He's in Sons of Anarchy.
Is he?
Yeah, he's either like transgender or transvestite or something.
I dropped Sons of Anarchy in like season 7 because they just lost the fucking plot.
Season.
Yeah, I just had to give up eventually because I was like, oh my God, I can't. Yeah. If I hear another goddamn motorcycle, I swear to God, I'm going to end it all.
That show does fall apart. Longmire.
Longmire? Is that it? American drama series? No, I don't think that's it. It's not Hell on Wheels. It's something like Hell on Wheels.
People are saying it's Longmire.
Is it Longmire?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then it might be Longmire. But yeah, he's like in this, like a Western TV show as like a cowboy. And it's very, very good. So he plays this role really well. Isn't he usually a good guy in the Fallout series? Is he not like the PI from Fallout 4?
Here's what's great about this show, and here's what's so smart about it. It's its own story entirely.
Yeah.
So none of the games...
It's also way later. It's like the latest piece of Fallout IP we've ever gotten.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. It's 10 years after Fallout 4.
Gotcha. He's like not a character in any of the games.
Gotcha.
And I think that's so smart, and it makes it so much more impressive than The Last of Us to me.
Justified, that's what it is. It's not Longmire. Everybody who was yelling Longmire is wrong. It's Justified. It's Justified. Whoever said that, you're a genius. Nice. Yes.
But what makes the Fallout show more impressive than The Last of Us show to me is that it is so good and it's its own unique story.
Yeah.
Like, entirely. Which is so good. Like, because The Last of Us is already a movie, essentially. Yeah. It's just a, like, 8-hour long movie.
It's a movie that
you
run to the scenes of.
Yeah. It's funny when I'm playing The Last of Us and Sarah's watching. She wanted to see, like, what the game is like. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny that moments in the show where it's like, oh, we need a car battery. And they go to Bill's and they see a note and it's like, car battery's in the garage. Good luck.
Yeah.
In the game, they're like, we need a car battery. And he like whips out a map. And he's like, all right, well, it's 40 miles north. If we carve our way up there, we could get it. And it's
and
like
stabbing zombies the entire way. And they're like, okay, yeah, we figured this out immediately.
It's like all the show had to do to make a good show is remove the gameplay.
Yeah.
And you're there. Mm-hmm. This is a great show, and they had to come up with their own, like, characters, their own story.
Yeah.
And apparently, this is technically Fallout 6, because, like, they had to talk with Bethesda about, like, plot lines they couldn't do, because Bethesda's planning to do them in Fallout 5.
Oh, shit.
And so they're like, we essentially made Fallout 6.
That's sick.
Yeah, isn't that neat?
Well, that's why it's probably why it's 10 years in the future beyond Fallout 4.
Yeah.
This show was so good that, like, I feel like by the end of this show, I could probably convince Dorothy to play Fallout.
Sarah's playing it.
That's
playing New Vegas. She's on my Steam Deck.
Vegas? You even started with four?
Why would I start it with four?
I don't know. It's just the best looking one out of all of them.
Oh, that's well, like, that is true.
That's but, like that would be like a big pitch point for Dorothy. She'd be like, why does it look so ugly? And I'd be like, yeah, because it's like 13 years old.
Yeah, it looks better on a Steam Deck because you don't really expect games to look good on a handheld. Maybe I'll get four for her. I just know four is like not good story-wise, but I don't think Sarah is going to be like, oh, this doesn't make sense.
Why am I moving backwards? And it's like, all right. Yeah. I literally put on the most boy video I've ever put on in my entire life while I was cooking dinner last night. I put on every Fallout shelter in the Fallout universe explained, and it's like a 38-minute video where they just literally go from like Fallout shelter 1 to 111, and they're just like, here's the experiment run. And I just felt like the most like YouTube man of all time, which is like a video diary on like Fallout shelters. And I was like, nice.
I was like doing dishes the other day, just like, this has nothing to do with Fallout, but speaking of that, it's like doing dishes, so my hands are all sudsy, and I thought I was alone in the house, and I just have like Asmongold. And
well then, Josh walks in like, "What are you doing?"
Yeah, it's just like,
"Sorry, it's a lubricant."
I just have like Asmongold yelling about some like TikTok pickup artist, and so Josh like walks in and just hears like Andrew Tate screaming, and I'm like, "Josh!" And I'm like smashing plates, and I'm like, I'm watching a man talk about this guy.
Yeah, he's just like shaving your head like Top G.
Yeah,
I'm gonna be.
But yeah, so it's awesome. I'm halfway through. I'm on episode 5, and it's like my favorite show right
now.
Here's
my thing. If the Frankly Built of the world with 3D printers, a little bit of painting experience, and like an engineering background can make like good looking power armors, you know, Iron Man suits, all these kinds of things, like millions of dollars in like the several like set professionals should be able to make big sets that are convincing.
Yeah.
And I think that's what One Piece and this and The Last of Us did so well. And I think that's kind of what everybody's realizing is that like, in order to make any anime, video game, comic book adaptation, you need big fuck off set pieces and convincing pieces of props.
Yeah.
It's like, it's the Mad Max effect where like, if you put money into effects, makeup, and like location, you're gonna make a good movie. You're gonna make a movie that people enjoy. And I don't know why that wasn't like brought into the zeitgeist earlier, because Mad Max has been around since the 90s and people have been trying to adapt Dragon Ball and Naruto and One Piece and all these other things like improperly, because they're like, oh, big green screen, that'll be good enough. And it's like, no, don't get the A talent, because like there's nobody in Fallout that's a big A talent, right? Like none of them are traditional A-listers. I would say that the biggest actor is
me.
Cool. Yeah, you.
Oh, Walter Goggins.
Yeah. Walter
Nick
Goggins.
Pointed at me.
Yeah, just because you know the name.
Yeah.
And even he, isn't a big actor. So, like, by recruiting young, talented people and then putting money into set design, I think that's always been the route to success with, like, an IP adaptation.
Yeah. I saw people, this kind of related, I saw people, like, a bunch of videos. Every now and then, I'll just try and piss myself off for some reason.
Nice.
And I was watching these.
You don't
videos.
Have enough. You don't have enough like turmoil in your life.
Yeah.
You have a girlfriend that loves you. You pay cheap rent. You've had your two same roommates since college.
Yeah.
You have a dog.
Your
guinea pigs are dying.
Yeah,
that's exactly.
It's all coming up,
it's
Danny.
It's like literally everything's coming up, Danny. Yeah. Hasbin Hotel and Hell of a Boss. People are just flooding to you. You're reviving Tumblr single handedly. You need more, like, you just need somebody. Like, we should hire somebody. Like, 20 bucks a day.
Just hurt me?
Well, no, not even hurt you. Just, like, in one way or another, minorly inconvenience you.
Yeah.
Just, like, it's like, oh, just, like, unscrew one side of your dishwasher so when you open it, the whole fucking door comes off. Something like that. Christ. Just, like, turmoil in your life.
Yeah, what a minor inconvenience, my dishwasher falling apart. It's
like, oh, God.
Darn. Yeah. Just drop it and walk away. That's why I have roommates.
Toss it through the window. Yeah. Josh will fix it. You do need, because you are the kind of person where you're like, today was a good day.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go yell at a person being mean to an OnlyFans model trying to make a song online and then bitch about it on the podcast.
Look, the life I lead is one that should result in a today's gonna be a good day kind of person.
You have a zen-like life.
That is not the person that life has bred.
Yeah.
I am somehow still such a bitch. Mm-hmm. Every now and then I like to piss myself off. And I was watching these videos that are like, Fallout TV show went woke, went broke. And just people being like, this shit's woke. There's a woman. There's a black. There's like, it's like, and I'm like, not only is that like so stupid and infuriating, but it's one of those things where it's like, you're just, it's like just the reason I like, if I see one of these TikToks, I'll watch it is because I'm like, the goal is I'm like, I need to see what their logic is to like justify the idea that they're not being racist. Because this show is so edgy and so like not that like quote unquote woke.
It's literally about like a fallen out nuclear world that has nothing to do with our world whatsoever. It's about a girl trying to get her dad back.
I mean, well, it's also like the games are, it's like as anti-capitalist as the games are.
Yep.
It's as anti-war as the games are. It's not like,
it's funny that you say that when like one of the, like the possible solutions of Fallout 4 is we built a mech powered by nukes and that's a way to win the game.
Yeah. Well, it's like,
it's not the right way to win the game, but it's a way to win the game.
Yeah. Like Fallout's always been like satirical. That's why it's all like, you know, the bullets are shaped like bombs. Their Coca-Colas are shaped like bombs. Yeah. Like everyone loves bombs.
It's a bomb based economy.
They love it. It's bomb based economy. And it's, so it's satire. It's as satire as the games have been. So that hasn't changed. That hasn't been like woke-ified.
I feel like it's not trying to make a point.
It is. It's anti-war and
I get it's
and
like anti-nukes.
It's like anti-blind patriotism. It's anti like war. It's anti like not communism. What's it called? Capitalist. A little bit. But it's no more political than the games are. There's no different politics in the games. The only difference, or the only quote unquote woke thing, is that there is a black star and a female star, along with there being a white male star.
When you can fully guess, like he's like red now.
Well, and so that's why it's like, I'm like, oh, it's just racism. Like you're just like, I don't like that he's black. Not like that she's a woman. And it's like, oh, that's it then.
And it's like, not even her being like, I can do things as good as a man. It's literally just her existing.
Yeah.
Like,
it's her getting fucking shit on the whole time. Like, it's not her being like, I'm a boss bitch.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not Ocean's 8. It's not fucking like, it's not
Ghostbusters.
Yeah. It's not the Marvels. It's not Ghostbusters. It's literally just a woman being the lead.
Yeah.
Which, like, hey, you can be a woman character in Fallout.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, just because you made a white man to be your player in Fallout doesn't mean that the protagonist of Fallout is a white man.
Yeah.
Like, sure, before character customization, like Fallout 1 and Fallout 2, where you were like the golden boy, you were a white man running around. But like, as soon as New Vegas came around, you could choose what you looked like.
Yeah.
Like, the main character of Fallout is like the main character of any anime. It's what you make them look like.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if it's a man, a woman, a gay, a black, I don't like that we keep saying a black. I don't like that we keep saying a black.
You didn't have to do it. I said
you put it in my words.
I said it once. You said a gay and a black. And it was like, I got on.
That's our cut.
I said it because it's like what they're saying.
Yeah, I guess. Anyways, so what I'm saying is it doesn't matter what it is because like you make the character.
Yeah.
It's like if they made a Baldur's Gate movie, they're not going to be like, oh, time to like, there's so many different like races and like classes you could be. It's not going to be like, oh, it's got to be a white knight. No, it doesn't have to be a white knight. It could be like a purple high elf.
Yeah.
You know? And so like it doesn't matter what they look like. And I think Lucy does a fantastic job the role. And I want to see a super mutant. That's all I want.
Yeah, I don't know if...
Super mutant.
Yeah, I also feel that way. I don't know what's in the scientist's, like...
He's cooking up.
Yeah, I don't know what he's cooking up.
One gripe.
Yeah?
Dog's not called dog meat. That upsets me.
Yeah.
I just think the dog's like the CX, the 505 or something.
Yeah.
I want dog meat.
I feel that. I'm trying to think... I haven't seen a... What are they called? A death thing? Deathclaw?
Deathclaw.
I haven't seen one of those.
When the bear showed up, I was like, oh, it's going to be a Deathclaw. Fully just a bear.
That's a Yaogwai.
One more time?
Yaogwai.
Oh, of course.
Which is a Fallout enemy.
Oh.
Just a big irradiated bear.
Yeah, I mean, not the thing I would want to fight. Also, Michael Rapaport being in the show, I made me upset. He's been like so incredibly like Zionistic recently, and I was like, he doesn't deserve this.
I've been seeing that. Yeah. I didn't know who he was before. I don't know anything about him currently.
Yeah.
Other than, people are mad because he's a huge Zionist.
Like, he's literally just straight up Zionist. So I was happy that, like, they made his character a bitch who just died. And it was nice.
It's funny because people are like, this dude's an asshole. And I'm like, yeah, look at him.
Yeah. Like he's always, and he's, and the thing is, he's always been that.
Well, I was like, I saw the TikToks and I was like, yeah, this guy looks like a piece of shit. Yeah. Like, yeah,
literally look at his fucking face. All right. That brings us to the part of the show where me and Danny do our love letter, where me and Danny pull our incredible live audience of 56 people hanging out, watching the podcast live, and to have them ask us a question that we answer live on this podcast. So if you guys ever want to watch us live or ask us a question that could get answered on a podcast, please become a member over on Patreon or YouTube members. For either $4.99 or $5.99 to be Team Nick or Team Danny. You'll also get 2 additional hours of Nick and Danny content a month. Me and Danny have to choose if we're going to be playing Fortnite because of the Avatar event or For Honor because Danny's been begging me to do it for this entire time we've had Patreon content. Caden Thomas asks, what's the greatest final stand moment in anime? I'm going to go first.
Oh, yeah.
My answer, Whitebeard.
Okay.
Incredibly easy. Whitebeard in the War of the Best Marine Ford. I think he gets shot like 360 times, 2 cannon blasts to the chest, stabbed like 1,000 times, and he's just like quaking entire oceans, going against like Kizaru and Akainu, like all these incredibly powerful people from One Piece. And like at the end, still with 2 holes in his chest, already on his deathbed, like still known as like this 70-year-old absolute menace who's just yugging sake, brought all of his thousands of pirates to like literally bring the war to the most powerful force in the entire One Piece universe. Still, like, stands against Blackbeard, against the entire world, and lets everybody know that the One Piece is real. That spurned some of the greatest memes of all time. So, yes, if I had to say the greatest final stand of all time goes to Whitebeard.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I am going to go with Light Yagami.
That is not who I thought you were going to go with.
No?
No.
He, for some reason, like, the voice acting and the dub specifically... Yeah. Goes so hard when in he's like just finals.
Like, when he's like running away, he's getting shot at, and he's just like writing people's names down.
I love that like guns are drawn on him, and he thinks he's gonna pop the little secret compartment on his watch, unfold this tiny little paper, and then write a name down before he gets shot.
Yeah,
like what a
write
silly
all 5 of them. Yeah,
yeah, like it's just like, all right, I did do it. Let me just write my will real quick.
Oh, no. Here, let me give you my confession written on paper.
I love it. And yeah, that voice actor is just like one of the best in the business.
Cannot believe you didn't choose Rengoku.
The commenter did.
Oh, what?
And we've talked about Rengoku so much. It's just like, at this point, it's like, I've said all I can say about Rengoku.
Everyone hates Rengoku. He literally has 2 spin-off mangas about him in the Demon Slayer universe.
I want to throw a little curveball in, you know?
Okay. I did not see Light Yagami coming. Other final stand moments, Vegeta versus Boo.
Yeah.
I didn't go with that. Final Flash. That
Vegeta versus Boo, like, popularized karate chopping a child in the back of the neck to knock them out.
When else did that happen?
Vegeta versus Boo popularized and normalized gentle abuse of children.
Just like, oh, listen.
Dude.
Putting them out.
Trunks runs up and he's like, Dad, don't do it. Good dude. Knocked out.
Take this baby.
Trunks Goten runs up. What are you doing? Good dude. Take these chumps. I'm blowing myself up.
And then he accomplishes...
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah, absolutely zero.
So many anime do that, where it's just like, a budoj, knocked out, take this away from
Wouldn't
me.
Wouldn't that be such a fun part of being a human? If you just had a certain level of strength that you could just... You're just like walking in the street, just like, you know, there was that guy like running around, just like punching women in the face.
Yeah.
Imagine if he was just like a serial neck chopper and he was just... Just putting people out. Be a way funner story.
Are you just turning people off without severing their spinal cord?
Like, it was like, hey, these people have been unconscious for 10 minutes. They're not waking up.
Yeah.
And you're just like, just because the dude was running around chopping people in the neck.
Yeah, he's just like Piccolo or whoever standing next to Majin Vegeta, like karate chops both kids, hands them to him, and he's like, they're dead. Why didn't you just do nothing if you were going to do this?
Hey, they could have helped you. Yeah, like, these 2 can fuse.
He's just like mashing them together. Come back.
It's like Mark with the fucking, the guy, the teleporting guy. Just juicing 2 kids. All right. Well, that's all we have, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for checking in for episode 62 of Otaku's Anonymous. We appreciate you guys hanging out with us here. We appreciate our live viewers. And remember, guys, when you see this video, there is a limited edition t-shirt being run through our merch store right now that you can pick up and show us when you meet us at cons like Comic Palooza, which me and Danny are going to be at May 24th to the 26th, doing 9 total panels between the 2 of us, which is absolutely insane. But hey, listen, they need people to beef up their anime backbone, and apparently that's what me and Danny
are
doing.
We're doing 12.
You're 9.
You're right.
3 me, yeah, 3 you, 3 us.
Yeah, yeah.
We're also in the process of being confirmed for ColossalCon, Texas. Me and Danny are going to be in Houston twice this summer, so if you're going to miss us at Comicpalooza, don't worry. We're also coming back in what? When is ColossalCon?
Like, late.
June.
Like, several months from now.
It's not like that far away. It's either June or July. Don't worry, we're going to cut all this.
I'm worried.
You should be. ColossalCon, Texas is going to be, oh my God. August 16th to the 18th.
Yeah,
2024. Far. So if you guys can't come meet up with us in May for Comicpalooza, late August, we're going to be in Round Rock, Texas. I actually don't know where Round Rock, Texas is. I don't believe it's Houston. But we're going to be doing a big Texas summer.
Yeah.
Which is not exactly the place you want to be.
It's
for
hot.
Summer. It's hot. Oh,
we'll
God.
Be at a water park.
Round Rock is outside of Austin. We're going back to Austin. I fucking love Austin. Oh, I'm going to get barbecue. So yeah, two separate cons that me and Dan are going to be at in Texas this summer. So if you want to see us at Comicpalooza or ColossalCon, pop in and hang out with us. I've been NCHammer23, also known as the Weeb Commander, also known as Nicholas Connor Daniel.
I've been Danny Mata.
Cool. Bye.